listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
For the heroics, capes on the notice. Waited for them to show it and traced all the motives. The motive beyond reason to pay us all in the open. Like maybe all of them below us is waiting for us to throw us. If money talks in another kind of slang, they hover by it again till you changing all that you've spoken. Like where the speech at? Tell them that you breathe that. And shit that's asthmatic the way they hang on the feedback. Fuck them all till they know that you mean that.
Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're in the house on a Sunday morning. That's right, Sunday before Mother's Day. So you guys, this is your warning. Y'all better be thinking about your mamas next Sunday, and that means my mom will be here next Sunday doing the show live with us. So and for all the sexy mamas out there, we do have a special guest this week. We got my man Chris Lambert, comedian to the stars, actor of stage and screen. What's going on, Chris?
Hey guys, thanks for having me. I'm doing good, man. I'm chilling.
I appreciate you being here, man.
Yeah, man, when you hit me up, I was like, oh, maybe next week, but I'm like, oh, I can't. What about today?
Yeah. Yeah, I hit him up to be like, on Facebook, I was like, let's do a podcast. And he was like, we can do Sunday, and I was like, cool, man. So next weekend, he was like, nah, and I was like, okay. And he was like, today. I was like, well, fuck it then, we'll do it live. Bill O'Reilly, rest in peace. So
he gonna be that podcast gonna be lit, you know?
That Bill O'Reilly podcast,
it's already number one on iTunes behind Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, ain't that sad?
Yeah, he gonna have that money coming in, dog.
I like how old white men took over the podcasting game. It's like, we can't win for shit. Mm-mm. You know
what I'm saying? And they'll be like on Entertainment Weekly, brand new podcast that you don't know about. Right. Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah. Watch Bernie Fuck Sanders the, live.
Yes, even
Fuck all the black tastemakers.
Yeah, they even got a podcast looking for an old white man and ain't really lost. He just was like, fuck everybody. I was like, let's go find his ass.
Yeah.
What was the settlement? 25 million or something?
25.
Like, he made a lot of money.
He got 25 million just to go home. That's crazy, man. Like, that's like, Mike Brown numbers for the coach at the NBA. Like, Mike Brown probably still get $25 million a year just from all the jobs he got sent home from.
Right.
But you
know, I kind of feel like, do you want him to win with the Warriors?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm in a tight spot with that.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely have an anti Steve Kerr agenda. I believe Draymond Green is the real coach, and I think he's the best coach of the team. So I feel like Steve Kerr not being there just highlights that they don't need to give him $5 million a year. And if Luke Walton can do it, why can't Mike Brown?
Right, of course.
I'm just saying, motherfucking Draymond, the real coach, motherfucker, come out every game now hitting 30 points, and when Steve is there, he can't even shoot. So I don't know. Feel like Steve getting all the credit.
I was just saying, I still want LeBron to win, even though I think the Warriors got it in the bag. Like, Kevin Durant's like evil now. Like, he's like telling the mascot to get the fuck off the court. And
you know what, Kevin Durant reminds me of when Wale signed with Maybach Music. it's too much, man. Just should have stayed in your lane, dog. I can't really fuck with you over there, dog. And even they don't really fuck with you over there. Like, you the good kid. You not supposed to be over there with them, man. Trying to pretend to be your bad guy and shit.
I know. They got the light skin evilness going on. You bring your dog skin self over there, and they're like, nah, you don't mix with the crew.
Yeah, I'm not a fan, dog.
I'm not a fan either. And I tell you one thing, back to the previous conversation. I'm on somebody to send me home with $25 million.
Mm-hmm.
Send me home any day then.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right, let's talk about some things. Okay, guys, first of all, it's the Blackout Tips podcast. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Leave us 5-star reviews. If we like them, we'll read them on the air when we do our feedback show every Saturday. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and an unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is actually sponsored by Shadow Dog Productions. Apparently This is your last chance to get a day audio play that's only 99 cents, called Passengers. It's me and Karen and Jenna Simon, and we do some comedy for a little bit. It's 99 cents. It's on iTunes, on Amazon. Just search up Passengers and it'll come up, and if you get it and you like it, leave 5-star reviews. You know, let them know that you deal, that you fuck with it. So we appreciate y'all to take the time out to do that.
That's the Chris Pratt stalker movie.
No, we actually no, it doesn't get stalkery and rapey at all. Mm-hmm. It's quite funny the whole time.
Nobody's so. Doing anything against their will.
Yeah. Man, God, I can't believe Sony lost all that money gambling on that shit. I was like, who greenlit that?
And it was not that good.
Yeah. At any rate, man. So we got Chris here, man. I guess I gotta check up on you, man. First of all, how's everything going with the career and stuff?
It's going pretty good. I did a I got cut out of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
No.
They told me like a couple months ago. The scene, whatever that scene was, it got cut out. Mm. And I could, like, Monday morning quarterback in the situation, mm-hmm. like, hindsight is always 20/20. It just seemed like they didn't really know what they wanted in that part, but the producers like me, and one of them producers is Tina Fey Young, so maybe somewhere down the line I'll get another crack at being on there. But yeah, man. And I shot a pilot for an ABC show called Salamander with John Leguizamo and Lorenz Tate. So I don't know if that's coming out, but I did that. The check cleared.
That's what's up.
Got my mom an early Mother's Day present. Got my dad a Father's Day joint. So I'm good for the next 2 months.
Presence
wise.
When that happens, do you get like when you audition and it gets cut, do you still get your check though?
Yeah, because the check, you get the check like a couple weeks, like whatever their payroll is for that show, you get it like a week or two later. And yeah, you get the check and you still get like your, I still get a credit. Like my IMDb mm-hmm. would still have, still has that credit on there that I was on the show. Like if you look me up on IMDb, like you'll see that. But yeah, it's unfortunate, but I mean, nobody can ever take that experience away.
Yeah,
they can't.
That's why you gotta get as many pictures with these people when you're on set as you can, so mm-hmm. you can always have the memories, you know.
I didn't want to be that dude, but I was in the same dressing room as Ellie Kemper. Like she was not dressing room, but makeup right. in the makeup chair. Like she was a couple seats away from me, but I ain't say nothing to her. You know, I don't want to. You never know how celebrities are until you actually start talking to them. But she seemed like she was nice. Mm. You know, I didn't really have any scenes with, I had a, you know, that Melissa McCarthy joint that I did. Like I got to do a scene with her and she was nice, took a picture with her. And, this other joint that I did, I think the woman was in Scarface, like mm-hmm. towards the end. Like she, I don't know. Anyway, man, like it was cool. Career's going pretty good. I'm in the process of putting together an album that I want to record like by the end of the year, around November, December.
Oh.
So, yeah, so I'm putting in the work on writing for that, and so that's the goal. By the end of this year, I would like to have an album recorded and then release it like early 2018.
Well, I always see you grinding, man. Like every day on Facebook, I see you posting something that you're gonna be getting up and getting on some stage time, and you know, headlining and opening and all kinds of shit now. So
I'd be excited.
Yeah, man, so excited for you, man. I'm glad you're getting acting looks and stuff mm-hmm. too, because
yeah,
that's a big, you know.
I'm trying so hard, you guys. Yeah, but I'm having fun. Like I think, like, you know, I try not to get too sentimental on here, right. But like I try, like I'm happy, but you know, there's always, you know, I'm not going to be complacent, but, yeah, it's just to keep pressing forward. And that's the only way I know how to operate, and just try to have as much fun as I can, man.
Yeah. Speaking of, you know, big time stars, you know, me and Roderick us too, we do voice acting, so you know, we understand, you know, how it is. You know, yeah, what I'm saying? You know, we've been on TV too, so you know, we understand, you know. we're just in a league of our own, so you know, we're just talking it up to the small people.
Yeah, yeah. And then also a big accomplishment, I beat Horizon Zero Dawn on, yes, PlayStation 4. So if there's any single ladies that want to, you know, talk to a guy that beat a video game, then you can, you know, you can get at me.
There are a lot out there. Don't
know. Did you yeah, get that achievement unlocked?
Come on.
Did you? Yeah, so what are you playing, man? Because I know you are a gamer, and you got the PS4. I have the Xbox One, so you know, we don't really get the game together, but
yeah,
you know, what you getting into now, man?
Uncharted. I started the Uncharted series yesterday before I went out to run errands and stuff. Nathan Drake, I still don't think he's better than Lara Croft. I think Lara Croft's the greatest,
mm-hmm,
one of the greatest video game adventurers of all time.
She's clearly the newest iteration of Lara Croft is the greatest impossible white man of all time.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Did you guys play that one?
Hell yeah, I played that.
He plays. Oh, I'm a watcher. Like I watch him play. So far as I'm concerned, we played. I tried to play this game, and I don't know why, but it was so stressful. Like, it was making me panic, and I was like, I can't do it. So I just watched it play.
Yeah, I play that game. I play both of those games about probably 3 or 4 times a year. I just go, mm-hmm, and play them and beat them because
they're beautiful.
I love the story so much, and I love the gameplay mechanics, and it's like the greatest version of Impossible White Man, because everybody's going, because you got to up the challenge on Impossible White Man, so everybody's going to the old Impossible White Man well, which is like, oh, he's so old, look at this old man, like, how's he gonna survive these odds? And we've already had the woman Impossible White Man, like Colombiana and things of that nature. Salt, you know what I mean? Yeah. Which is another dynamic, but it's just not as good as, and I'm waiting on Hollywood to tap on this, and maybe they will with the new Tomb Raider, but Little Girl Impossible White Man is by far the best Impossible White Man.
Yes, it is.
It really is. I mean, and I'm not trying to placate to the women, but like within the last 4 to 5, 4 to 6 years, to me, the most compelling games have had female heroines.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that is. I think maybe it's the vulnerability, and being vulnerable and overcoming that. Maybe it's something, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I just think it's really compelling in, like, storytelling. I mean, with the character in Horizon Zero Dawn, Aloy, she's a young girl that's been orphaned since she was a baby, and she's trying to find out the secret of her existence while, like, fighting dinosaur robots.
Yeah, so, I mean, also, you can express more emotions with female protagonists, I think,
that
you're really allowed to with men, sadly, but you know, for, like, a lot of male protagonists, it is very much like Gears of War. Like, in the middle of this war, I also find time to bench every day. And you know what I mean? Like, my gun is so fucking huge and all that shit. And then this is like that one genre where it's like, you know, how am I going to survive without my parents? One of my favorite games, of the last few years is, the Walking Dead Telltale game version.
Okay.
And specifically Volume 2, because you get to be Clementine, which is like an 11-year-old girl,
mm-hmm,
in this zombie apocalypse, brutal, killing world, and you're trying to survive. You know, like that Volume 2 was so, like, that story was so real. And the first volume is even, like, it's so emotionally tugging because you're this guy who's in charge of raising this girl you found. And the way it ends, like, I straight up cried at the end of that game because it was so, like, fucking emotional or whatever. And yeah, you just can't necessarily convey those, you know, it's hard to convey that same thing with the way that, you know, we engage maleness and malehood when it comes to protagonists, because, you know, it's like, you gotta be, you know, like, Nathan Drake has to be like, oh really, I'm gonna kill everybody, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't, he don't get to be like trying to just survive and wondering where, you know, like, how am I gonna eat or shit like that, like other yeah. protagonists.
And
so, yeah, that's, go ahead Cam. I'm sorry, baby.
And something else that you stepped on, when it comes to like women, our stories, when it comes to us in action, we always have to think of alternative motives, if that makes sense. Like, men could come in with women could come in and it's almost like you have to, she can do that, but it has to be a twist to it. Because a lot of times, you might can say, I might not have the strength to just physically come and pop you in the eye, but I do have the strength to set up this contraction that can, you know. So I like the fact that it's not a straight, you know, manly game. But it has a kind of, I won't say a feminine touch to it, but it does have a feminine touch to it.
The thing is, it's all optical, right? Because it's all just an illusion, because essentially it's just a video game and they're not gonna let me die. But there's something about the optics of big ass brawly like Gears of War nigga versus a 95 pound woman that I know, like, just being a 95 pound woman in regular ass life gotta be scary. I couldn't, you know, but to step into that with, like, you can take, like, with having a woman protagonist, you can take something like a 250 pound dude with an axe. That's the scariest motherfucker in the world now. As opposed to Gears of War, I'll just be like, hit the Y button, crack that nigga head off. You know what I'm saying?
Saw him in half.
Well, this, you know, the Last of Us is one of my favorite games of all time. Am I getting the echo? Am I messing up?
No, there's no echo on our side, no, but side, if you want to refresh real quick, it should take care of the echo on your side.
Okay, maybe I'll do that. I think I'm good. All right, sorry, guys. The Last of Us, one of my favorite games of all time, dealt with, you have this male protagonist, this badass. You get to see his backstory, and he's a lot like that Telltale game you were talking to, Walking Dead. You know, he's a father figure to this girl, and there's a moment where he gets hurt, and you have to play as Ellie, the main girl, and you have to, you know, fend for yourself and take. So it's just like a really, I don't know, it's just a really emotionally compelling game. And I think that's one of the best games I ever played in my life. And Horizon Zero Dawn, I would say, is right up there, because you're taking this 18-year-old girl and you're kicking ass. It was a funny thing. I was watching this, I watch YouTube videos of the game and stuff to see, like, different. I'm a fucking nerd, I'm sorry.
But it's okay,
I was watching this thing, and one of the guys was like, oh, you can get her, you can get new outfits for your armor and stuff. He was like, oh, I'd like to see her in this outfit. I was like, dude, really? Like, it was just creepy. Like, he was just talking about, oh, I'd like to see her in this more revealing outfit. I was like, it's not about that, man. Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing about, I was listening to the voice actor, Ashley Birch, who voiced Aloy. She was saying something along the lines of, boys, little boys, don't really care who the protagonist is, but sometimes girls might have issues with what that is. But little boys don't really care. And I think I never really, in my childhood, you know, you think, I didn't even know the Metroid character was a woman.
Oh yeah, Samus, when she take off that suit. But that's because you got to beat the game, and that shit was hard.
That shit, yeah.
You know
the Game Boy version.
I didn't know till I was an adult, but that's because that game was fucking hard. Like, it was like, Samus is a girl. Like, when they brought it back, like, remember when they had, like, the Nintendo 64 or whatever, and they brought back Metroid, and they were like, you star as a female protagonist, Samus. And I was like, what? Like, when did y'all do that? And they were like, it was always a girl. You just had to beat the game. I was like, do you know how fucking hard it was to beat anything with three lives back in the day? Fuck that. Mm-hmm.
It was impossible. And when you're talking about, like, female leads, the thing about, put it like this, when it comes to video games in general, men are the privileged group because everything is catered towards them. Mm-hmm. Like, they really don't build, unless it's like bright and colorful and girly type quote unquote thing, they really don't build a lot of video games as far as action wise, and you just go around fucking people up with female leads is a rarity. So
yeah,
a lot of dudes, they don't really think about it unless the video game makes them vulnerable. Because when it came to Tomb Raider, there was a particular scene where this dude got very, very aggressive with Laura.
Mm-hmm.
And so many goddamn dudes, their privilege showed, they fucking complained. Oh my God, I can't tell. But you know what? That happened to women all the time. But you never think about it because all your characters you played as a man, and they don't ever have a man in a situation where something like that could happen to him.
Yeah. He was like sexually aggressive and clearly gonna like sexually assault her. And you have to kill this motherfucker before he can. And yeah, I mean, I know that, cause I read about it at the time, and they were like, you know, they almost didn't want to put that in the game, but at the same time, that would be a very real fear. And, yeah. You know, like, and that's the other thing about men, like men and gaming, because we've gotten to a point where everybody's more critical and roll their eyes of the quote unquote woke people and the quote unquote social justice warriors and all this shit. But on some real shit, there's some really despicable, hateful people out there that fight against shit all the goddamn time. And it's like, mm-hmm. if somebody was to notice it or speak out against it, they catch more flack for being like, well, isn't it fucked up that all these dudes don't want Ghostbusters, the movie, to fucking come out? Like, isn't it weird that that's the most downvoted movie of all time before it even came out? Like, that, like, there should be a equal level of eye rolling at that shit, if not more, than the fact that somebody going, well, guys, you know, you shouldn't really hate this movie just because there's women in it. And then people are like, oh, this motherfucker, Jesus Christ, let it go, lady. Like, that's how it feels with games in a large way. Like Chris said, boys don't really like necessarily think about it, but girls will, because they never got catered to before. Mm-hmm. And but there are a lot of dudes that fight against this shit. Like, they're like, what movie, Star Wars, mm-hmm. episode 7, Force Awakens, there were people that were mad that Rey was a Jedi, and they were calling her like a Mary Sue and all this shit. Like, it's like a weird culture in gaming that is so anti-women, like, getting the spotlight. Like, it's not even because women have always played games and been around.
Yes, they have.
It's just something about the idea that a video game maker or a movie maker or some type of nerd entertainment would be like, well, why don't we just make this one about a woman and just like fucking all hell breaks loose. But as Chris said, some of my best gaming experiences came because somebody was like, what if we just make this person a woman? And I'm like, oh, this is actually better than I thought it, you know, like, this is better than the shit I was doing. So,
mm-hmm. yeah, and I think the more like, I think maybe because I came back when I was a little older, because I normally just would do the 2K and the Madden for years, and then you get a platform game like a Tomb Raider coming back. That was something that was attractive to me. But I think if more guys were playing these games, they would be more, you would think they would be more compassionate to women. I was saying in my latest, I saw this play yesterday at Yale Rep in New Haven. And it was a play about a woman who was dealing with taking care of her kid that had special needs. It was an all-woman play, woman director, had some brown women in it. It was just a good play. And it made me think, like, this woman is dealing with her kid that has an illness and these special needs. And it made me think, because I dealt with special needs on the periphery, being a TA in a special ed school, blah, blah, blah. And most of those experiences, the women did not have, their husbands or their boyfriends were not there. And it's like a fractured family. And it made me think, like, why the fuck aren't these dudes here?
Mm.
Like, what the fuck? Like what? Like, we're supposed to be tough. We're supposed to be strong. And there's a line that one of the characters said, the main character says, you know, the father wasn't there because she's like, I hope he finds his peace because he couldn't deal with it. I was like, no, this guy's a fucking asshole.
Right.
Like, this guy's an asshole. He's not there. And it was a play that was timely because it was dealing with women's issues, also dealing with healthcare. And it just made me have a little more empathy. But I mean, I would consider myself to be somebody that's conscious with that, but I just think, you know, if you just kind of put if you just listen, if people in privilege, like black men, white men,
right,
if we were just a little more open and having more compassion, I think that progress would happen. I mean, it wouldn't be perfect, but I think that's how you get progress.
We definitely ask it when it's our turn, quote unquote. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, when some black kid gets shot by the police, we as a black dude, I definitely expect and want people to speak up. I don't give a fuck, you know what I'm saying? I don't mm-hmm. care that they're not a black dude. Like that means nothing to me. Like if some shit goes down, your ass need to be talking about it too, because don't just hop in when it's you. And I know that's how I feel, so I try to extend that idea out to other people to be like, yeah, if somebody is I read an article where a woman was in a bar and some dude came in and groped her, and then another guy in the bar punched that guy and kicked him out the bar. And so then the dude who got, you know, punched and the groper, he leaves, tells his boy, I got jumped at this bar, man. Let's go back. We're going to get some revenge, you know, some man shit. And they come back and, the woman sees them coming and tries to lock them out the bar. And he pushes the door open, punches her in the face. She hits her head. She dies. And I'm like, I can't. Like I posted a link to that article and I just said like a couple, you know, like, damn, like this is fucked up. Basically, she just went out for a drink and she dead. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. like the same way that, you know, a 15-year-old black kid goes to a party and does the quote unquote right thing that everybody says, party get rowdy, you leave, and the fucking cops kill him. Like, it's yeah. like both of those things are grave injustices. I don't see how I can just be like, well, I'm gonna say this one's fucked up. That other shit ain't got nothing to do with me. I ain't hitting no woman. Like, that seems hypocritical on some level to me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy how we could get to video games to that, but it's like, it's, you just have to be, those things are connected. Right. Yeah. Where, you know, they're, whether they're loose or not, but, yeah, I just think just being older, you kind of think about those things more. Just remember playing that first Tomb Raider was just like the first 15 minutes, you got to make sure she doesn't get raped.
Yeah.
And you got to make sure she gets some food. And so you care about this character, you're invested in it. But let me ask you this on a lighter note.
Yeah.
Did you feel like the second Tomb Raider was like the ending was kind of like the last hour or so was mm-hmm. a little like too parallel to the first?
Let me think about it.
It's probably been a year since.
Yeah, no. I play it about once every, I play both of them okay. about once every 4 months. Right. Yes and no, because I wasn't trying to save, you know, my friend.
Yeah.
So it had like a different motivation to win at the end, and you're really trying to say, figure out your father's, you know, what this what happened behind your father's death, and you're trying to keep that evil organization from getting, you know, this power to basically create an army and live forever and shit. So I thought the motivation was different. I felt like, it sounds weird to say it, but I felt like it matured, because
okay.
you know, the first one was just like, I want to save my friend and survive, and this one like was more like, I'm stepping up to be a hero and save the world from this destructive force, from this evil organization, you know. And if anything, I felt a little uncomfortable with the idea of being like, my father couldn't have committed suicide, he wasn't, you know, weak, and then you find out he was like assassinated. But I don't know, like part of that kind of bothered me, where I was like, I mean, even if he would have killed himself, these niggas still, Trinity is still evil. Like, it don't, like, it's not like,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? Like, it was like, he did kill himself, well, I guess I don't need to save the world. Like that felt a little weird. But I mean, I guess yeah. action wise, it was kind of a lot the same, with the, you know, climbing mechanics and the fucking like samurai armor motherfuckers that you gotta,
that's the part what I was like, but it was dope, it was still yeah. good.
You think we're gonna like, find out that that's connected?
Maybe so,
because the first one was like Princess Himiko or whatever, she had those wind powers and shit, and but she had them samurai warrior motherfuckers too. And then this one had the samurai warrior motherfuckers. I wonder if we're gonna, like, if game three is gonna be like some, like that shit's connected as well, like this whole samurai warrior culture shit.
Yeah, it's a great game though.
That's my game, dog. I fuck with that game so hard. But yeah,
Roger Pezza, I just sit back and watch, and Going back to something you was saying before, because we were talking about the play and the woman, talking about how, you know, she hopes if he finds herself, it made me think about excuses. When it comes to men, it's always an excuse. When it comes to women, it's never an excuse. Anything that happens to you, even if it's your fault, we will not accept it when it comes to women for some reason. So, because even a few years ago, I had an operation, and Rox was at the hospital with me the entire time, and then on the wing, I don't know if it was a woman's wing or what, but on the wing room on, and he would get up and he'd walk around with me, and a lot of the nurses were like shocked and amazed that he stayed there the whole time, and they literally just gave him praise for actually, in my opinion, doing what he was supposed to do, because I would have done it for him.
That's what, like, to me, I kept being weirded out because they would come in and be like, oh, you slept here? I'm like, who the fuck lets their who the fuck just goes, all right, baby, see you in the morning, you know what I'm saying? Like, going out with Craig and them, like, who would do that? But I apparently, a lot of people apparently would do that, which I don't know, it just felt weird to me that I don't know, I always feel like the bar is so low for dudes that that's one of the reasons we don't really try, because you don't have to really do shit. It was like, I don't hit no woman. It's like, he a good man. Now that right there, that's what you need, baby. That's a good man. All he do is go to work and cheat on you. That's what you need. You know what I'm saying? It's like the bar so low, man. But for women, it's just like, if a woman just notices, like, sexism or some shit, if it's immediately like, bitter bitch, you need to get a man, that's what you're not getting fucked, ain't it? That's what it is, you know. It's just such a weird fucking thing. And for other the shit too, you know, like, if a white person notices racism, then we're like, that motherfucker is woke, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's the bare minimal,
right, but we don't, you know, we don't care. It's just like, that motherfucker said Black Lives Matter, y'all can't never say shit about him, you know.
So, you can say that and still turn around and call somebody a nigga, so I don't want to hear that.
I'm not even saying to that extreme. I'm just saying, like, for example, I fucks with my man Ted Alexandro. That's a dog, my dog. He listens to the show. But I was on his page and he was talking about how, like, Obama getting this $400,000 and the $60 million book deal, and I was like, okay, that's fucked up. I hear you, dog. If you that's what you think. He gave $2 million to them kids in Chicago though too. What about that? Like, 400K ain't shit compared to, like, if you think the Obama administration sold out America for 400K, that's a ridiculous notion. You know what I'm saying? Now, if you're just upset about the optics, well then what about the optics of giving $2 million to Chicago kids so they can get work through the summer and hopefully move on career paths that keep them out of street and shit?
It's crickets.
No, but you never see them talk about that
ever.
Right. So like, it's that thing where it's like, yeah, I fucks with him. Yeah, I think, you know, he speaks out a lot more than other white people. It don't make him right about everything. It doesn't mean I gotta agree with everything. Vice versa, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure there's things that I say that people are like, oh, I like Rob, but I don't agree with that. And I think that's human too,
right?
You know?
And everybody needs room to grow.
Yeah, that whole thing is like, they all get paid, man. The Clintons got their bread, and that's really, you're really just on the tour after you, because you don't get that much money. You get 400K for being a year for being a president. But then you go on those speaking engagements, you enter the private sector and you get that bread. I mean, that's the agreement.
Why I gotta start with the nigga though? That's my only problem, man. It's like,
cause he black. Right. You know why. Like, I mean, it's just so, it's so inherent that it's just redundant every time. I was just like, it's just like, the answer is like, we could talk about it till we blew in the face, and I don't mind those conversations, but it's cause he black.
Right, because it ain't, like, my thing is, because people are like, well, I'm like this with everybody, but it ain't the same for everybody. But it ain't the same for everybody. So now what? Like, because that's like saying, look, I think all CEOs make too much, so I think this woman CEO should give up her salary. It's like, well, hold up now, player, hold up. Are we gonna start with the 10% of women that make it to CEO and be like, they the ones that need to give up the money and lead the charge on this? Because it's very weird to me, but that happens a lot, because I think, you know, that's that experience you can't have if you don't, like, live that life, as far as, you know, like, you have to almost experience the racism to be like, yeah, okay, I get why the pressure is different for this person, but you know, at the same time, do your thing. I don't think Obama's reading Facebook, so I mean, you know, I don't think all our opinion is necessarily that important. And you know, like, if you can convince me to be a socialist, I can't really change the government myself, so you know, I get it.
Yeah, if I was doing what Obama doing, I wouldn't be reading Facebook either.
Yeah. Oh man, I just want to make it that. I do want to make it to the point where if people don't like me, I can feel like, but I'm rich. Mm-hmm. That would be a nice point to make it to.
Assistant, go read the comments.
Yeah.
And filter them out. I only want the good ones.
Yeah. Like that would be nice, yeah. But I don't think that's going to happen for me, but that would be a good place to be in life where you like, oh, they mad? That's too bad. To the yacht. You know what I'm saying?
Ain't that the truth?
That would be such a good film.
Can I have another French 25, ma'am? Or 75, whatever I drank yesterday.
Man, I see you've been getting a whole lot of guests on the podcast too, Chris, man. You know, it was like a who's who on this joint, man. How have you been getting as your profile raises, is it easier to get the guests? Like, are they saying yes more, or is it just now you got the confidence to ask certain people, or have you just always just been asking people and they just pop on?
I try to ask, you know, I ask people, and they, like the last guest I had, Greg Barrett, I was emceeing for him at my home club at Levity Live, and we were just vibing, just talking backstage. Like, hey man, I gotta get you on my podcast, and he said sure, and we did that, and just more people will say yes, but I think some people, and I'm sure you guys dealt with it a lot or still deal with it, like you want to grab certain people and they don't pay you any attention. I got unfollowed by a rapper because I asked him to do my podcast.
Damn.
One of my favorites. And it was just like, oh, I just asked you to do a podcast. I'm not a stan. I think you're great, but Jesus, buddy.
Then he sent you a link to, his SoundCloud mixtape. It was like, hey man, but can you listen to my mixtape?
so I don't know, man. I try to go reach out to people, and if they say yes, they say yes. If they blow it off, then they blow it off. But it would be nice to get certain people, but you know how it is. It's just, yeah. I'm gonna keep doing it for as long as I can. I enjoy it. Yeah,
I think for a lot of people, even though podcast is in a weird space where it's like 12, 15 years old, somewhere around in there. Mm-hmm. It's old, but it's new, if that makes sense. It's old because it's been around for a while, but it's new to the masses. So when you go to a lot of people have no idea what a podcast is. As weird as that may sound, even people listen, have no idea. So for the average person, if it ain't radio or like the traditional quote-unquote media, a lot of people don't take it seriously.
Yeah, and I mean, this is some of these people we've had, you know, Brandon Collins, Mike Brown, Morgan P. Campbell, Daniel Berman, Darren Patterson, Sue Funk, Baron Bond. I mean, I Baron Bond's in, what is in that Netflix show? Josh Gondelman, Fonte, Fontigolo. John Moses, Phenom from Where's My 40 Acres, J.L. Covon, Russ Green, Amanda Seals. Mm-hmm. Like, these are some names, bro. You know, like, this Caroline Castiglia, Liz. Oh, man, Caroline going through it on Facebook, man.
She's up Facebooking through it.
She Facebooking through it, bro. She found love, and she was very out there, outspoken about it. And then some wild shit happened with this dude, and she is straight up Facebooking through it. Power Facebooking.
I hope you make it through, baby.
I feel like I know all Caroline business now. Like, if I see her, I feel like we at hugging friends now. You know what I mean? Like, we at that level. Even though we never met, I feel like I could just walk up and be like, we can hug, right? Because we've been through it. Let's cry together.
She's good people. Like, that episode, like, a lot of, you know, you're doing something, what gives me gratification is the fact when other comics, like your peers and your fellow podcasters, like when they'll hit me up, they'll say, yo, that Carolyn Castiglia episode, you know, and that shit that shit was good, you know, like I'd be like, oh shit, I'm like, all right, and then I listen to it, I'd be like, oh, that shit was good.
Yeah, man. Mike Brown, Andy Klein, like there's so many people, man. So yeah, I just noticed the, you know, just the guests and the gets and the stuff like that, man. I just think it's dope, man. The podcast is dope is what I'm trying to say.
Thanks, man. I'm trying, man. You guys are the Eric and Tammy Taylor of the game. And, you know, that's my nickname for y'all. So it's fun, man. It's a good way to make myself do something every week. And, it's fun. I just enjoy talking to people and, I just got to gear back up and get some more people on. But, yeah, I'm putting it out there. I reached out to the voice actor from, Horizon Zero Dawn, but it's kind of like you don't want to come across as a creep, like when it's a woman you're trying to get, because it's almost like you're asking them out on a date in a way. And it's like, I remember, I know we y'all talked bad about him like 30 minutes ago about Wale when he asked somebody to do one of his songs. He was like, it is kind of like, I was like, oh shit, it is asking them out a little bit. And the things that women have to go through, it's like, no, I just want you to do my part. Yeah. And I kind of get jealous sometimes when I see her on other people's joints. And that, like, cause I was like, you did this one, but you can't, but I don't know, man, but I want to reach out to people like that. And hopefully if my profile gets a lot bigger, I could be like, hey, I can reach out to her people and say, hey, I want to get you on, and they don't think I'm a creep.
Yeah.
Because honestly, like, I was listening to her on some people's stuff, and they'd be like, oh my God, I just think, oh my God, I love you. And she's like, okay.
Right.
You know, I'm like, hey, I like your stuff. Let's talk about this. Let's talk. Like, I want to get a good.
And a lot of times men do make the interviews or the guests with women creepy. Because they will go into like how attractive they are or who they fucking, or like they have, like, their minds can't help.
She always signed up for, she like, hey, I just came on the podcast, and then turns into something else.
Yeah, their mind can't help but go there. Even if they're trying to be nice, it's still kind of like a, you know, because you looking good, you know, and you know, I know guys trying to fuck. He's like, well, this just got awkward, you know what I'm saying? Like,
because you made it awkward,
right? Like,
oh,
like,
this is awkward.
Yeah. Oh, what are we gonna do with this dick here? I got this dick out. I mean,
right, it's like
live on the podcast.
I treat it like you would any man. Would you ask a man that?
Right. Yeah. You know, I think it's just awkward because that's just, you know, it's like anything. That's where men's minds go. Same way that if a white podcast host has a black guest, I'm sure they're like, yeah, so Black Lives Matter, I mean, what's going on with that? I mean, well, yeah, that's changing everything. You're like, what the fuck? I thought we were gonna talk about some comedy, you know? Right. That is interesting though. All right, let's talk about news, guys. Okay, all kinds of news is coming out, and we need to talk about it.
Okay,
right. We can start with this first. I just read this morning. Apparently, they're selling a letter at an auction by Malcolm X for $95,000.
Okay.
And the letter is about him confessing to Elijah Muhammad that he couldn't satisfy his wife in bed.
Whoa.
Why are we selling this?
She told me I was impotent. Mm-hmm. Slain civil rights icon Malcolm X acknowledged that his marriage was failing because he was unable to satisfy his wife in bed. It was learned on Sunday. The stunning revelation was made in a 1959 type letter written by Malcolm X to his mentor, Nation of Islam leader Elijah Muhammad. Which is sad, because that means Elijah Muhammad was reading that like, I'm gonna kill this nigga. Mm-mm-mm. In the letter, X allegedly, I'm not saying it's true. In the letter, X says that his wife, Betty Shabazz, complained that her husband had never given her any real satisfaction and said to me, if I didn't watch out, she was going to embarrass me and herself, which under questioning later, she said she was going to seek satisfaction somewhere else. The letter reads, the main source of our troubles was based upon sex. She placed a great deal more stress upon it than I was physically capable of doing.
Damn.
I guess Plymouth's cock getting laying on her. One day, she, what?
What the hell is wrong with you?
I'm just saying. Viagra, any means necessary.
Well, I don't think it was around then.
One day she told me we were incompatible sexually because I had never given her any real satisfaction. She outright told me I was impotent and I was like an old man, not able to engage in the act long enough to satisfy her. Her remarks like this were very heartbreaking to me. Damn. Damn. Who bought this? Like, he think it's just like, this thing is like a white supremacist is gonna hang it on his wall.
I know, like, that's depressing as fuck.
This is somebody that hate niggas. Like, you see my, this is like Get Out. It's just gonna be like this. This right here, this is my Malcolm X letter.
Not all of them.
The letter is being offered for sale by MomentsInTime.com, which is a website, which is a memorabilia dealer. The asking price is $95,000. Malcolm X was a divisive figure in the 1960s, and they go into his history. You know, it's funny though, because some people say, you know, there's rumors that he was gay and stuff, or had took on male lovers, bisexual and stuff. So you're gonna have that shit popping up, man. It's just, you know, I think it's interesting because in a day and age when we didn't have social media and all this stuff, it's easy to paint these people as like caricatures of what we want them to be.
Correct.
As very simple, yeah. Like Magneto versus Professor X type shit. But they was humans too, man. And they had whole ass lives that had
very complex.
Yeah, that we don't necessarily, that don't fit neatly into the boxes that we want to put them in. I wonder if people are going to reject, even knowing this letter's out there, I wonder if people are going to reject this idea because in their own ways they'll feel like this emasculates him on some level.
Maybe that's what they were but then you got to think it was 1959.
Yeah,
a few years, 6 years before he died, he's probably fucking stressed out.
He might have been. I mean, that's a reasonable, like I said, they human. He was human, you know what I'm saying? Like, that would have been just as reasonable to be like, I think these motherfuckers trying to kill me. You know, I just, sex is just, it's lower on my list than it used to be before, right, I was looking out the window with a gun every night,
that,
you know?
The top agenda.
Yeah.
How many kids did he have? 3, 4? I said
5.
5 is what they said. Five. Okay.
He had some kids, so something went to completion.
Yeah.
5 times, you know, but that's rough. And then, you know, he lived that fast life, you know, when he was coming up. You know, I don't know, man. Like, maybe he just got to that point where, I don't know, but that's towards the end of his life, so.
Yeah, Betty Shabazz died in 1997 from injuries sustained in a fire that was started in the Bronx by her grandson. She was 63 years old.
I don't remember that, yeah.
So, anyway, that's wild, man. But if you got $95,000, you can get in on that. Just have that letter for some reason.
Do you think racist people jerk off to that letter?
They probably do. Mm-hmm. They probably, you know what? A lot of impotent racist people just got hard for the first time.
I know. Like, oh my God.
Thank God he wasn't. Yes. Oprah made $110 million because Weight Watchers is hot again.
I believe that.
Oh. She brings money and just flows. Yeah, Weight Watcher shares climbed 14% on Wednesday, and the stock has quadrupled since Winfrey bought a big stake and joined the board of directors in 2015. She holds about 10% of the shares. Her stake is worth $43 million. When she bought it, it's now worth $154 million.
She's a
did y'all see that
genius.
Movie?
Which movie? Henrietta Lacks.
Yeah,
I haven't watched it yet. I was waiting on Karen, but I got to stop doing that. It's starting to slow me down.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
We be sitting there. We watch other stuff.
You're just not as woke as me. It's fine.
I guess I'm not.
I need to watch it.
I need to watch it too, man. I saw people live tweeting. I couldn't join in because Karen was napping and shit. You know how it is. It's all good. I'll catch up to it. Plus, you know, it is that thing too where you know it's going to be sad and depressing. So it's a lot less enthusiasm to live tweet it with the crew, because it's like, if I get these jokes off, y'all gonna be mad because I'm scared to get these jokes off, because that's how I view the world, is I try to make things funny. So probably better I didn't live tweet it with them niggas, because they probably been mad.
Fuck you, Rod.
Right.
This is a serious matter.
Speaking of black women getting this money, Whoopi Goldberg demands $3.5 million. And an executive producer title, and her nemesis, an ABC executive, fired if they wanted to return to The View.
Dang.
Damn, Whoopi. First of all, power move.
Mm-hmm, I don't blame her. Yeah, she's like, and because that's, I'm going to tell you, truth be told, out of everybody on there, I think she's the longest person that's been on there. I think everybody else has been rotated around and changed. So she's been there the longest. She should demand more.
Well, she's 61. She doesn't quote unquote need it. This shit for her. Like,
right.
Like, I'm sure she doesn't mind it, and I'm sure it doesn't hurt her brand. But in general, she don't need this shit. Mm-hmm. You can tell, like, as much as I agree / disagree with Whoopi at times, the thing I like about her is that it always feel like she coming from a genuine place because she don't give a fuck.
Right.
Like, it's really until, like, people are like, listen, we will cut the sponsors for this shit, that she's like, all right, I'll apologize. You know what I'm saying? But it's... but in general, she just be like, she's almost like how white dudes get to be on TV, where they just say what the fuck they want to say, and then everybody's like, well, that is Bill O'Reilly, we just got to deal with it or whatever. So but I just like the power move, because she took a $3 million pay cut. What year was that? 3 years ago, maybe. It was like they slashed her salary from 5 to 2, and now it's time to re-up, and she says, I want at least 3.5. I want executive producer title, because at this point, like you said, she's on the longest tenured staple of the show.
Right. And so, I mean, ratings won't completely fall off, but they will drop if she leaves, because a lot of people only tune in for her. I'm not trying to be funny.
Her and Joy Behar.
That's it.
Yeah. So, yeah.
They, give her that bread. Why not? They got money. They got some money.
Right. It's right behind Dr. Phil in ratings,
mm-hmm.
which is another staple of TV. Like, I mean, at this point, you know,
you got the power.
They beat out Phil. I mean, they beat out Kelly and Michael when they was out there. They beat out Kelly and this new nigga, Ryan Seacrest.
Somebody else, yeah. And
get your paper, man.
What was it? The Talk and all them other folks out there.
Mm-hmm. So, yep, go get your paper. You, and plus, you need the money just because, like, she had to deal with Raven Simone, like some of these bubbleheads, these these stupid ass conservative blonde women they bring on there every like
year. Ignorant.
Yeah, like, good for you, Whoopi. Let's see what other. Oh, so Chris Rock might have cheated on his wife with Kerry Washington when they filmed I Think I Love My Wife.
I was saying that.
First of all,
well, dude. Go ahead, Rod. Sorry.
I just got to say, first of all, I Think I Love My Wife. She Hate Me, Kerry Washington. Peak Kerry Washington. Like, mm-hmm. It don't get no better than that. Like, I still watch Scandal because as just like a homage to peak Kerry Washington. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not even peak no more. Like, but woo.
You paying your tithes.
Right. You know, I'll never forget where I came from. Is what I'm saying, okay?
Yeah. Even going back, like Save the Last Dance, Kerry Washington, she was cute. Like, she's a pretty, like, she's like, okay, this girl's pretty. She's in a movie, but my God, what was that, 2006?
Right.
That
2007.
Mm-hmm. Like, God. Like
she just blossomed. I mean, you know what I mean? It was like,
she
was so fine in 2007, it made me go back and like, now wait, what else is she in? Because, you know, like, I have to catalog the change.
The Last Dance?
Right. Shit. I have to catalog the change scientifically, you know what I'm saying? Someone need to keep a track of this arc, man, because she, oh, man, like, that's the thing. The whole plot to I Think I Love My Wife hinges on the fact that every dude watching the movie was like, there's no way you can't not cheat with Kerry Washington. Like, it's just, that's the whole plot element. Everybody watching the movie has to think the same thing at the same time when she's in that black lingerie, which is, sometimes you gotta cheat, you know what I'm saying? The movie doesn't work unless everybody agrees, you know what I'm saying? If we all went, man, you better get your ass out of there, it wouldn't have worked. The movie would have been trash. Like, that's how fine she was. People was like, this movie's good because there's no fucking way you walk out of that room.
It's an underrated movie too. That's when Chris Rock started to his filmmaking started to evolve, because when I saw Top 5, I really liked that.
Mm-hmm.
But then it made me go back to I Think I Love My Wife, which I was like, oh, that just didn't get enough credit, you know. He didn't get enough credit for that one.
Oh yeah, yeah. Chris, I like when he kind of delves into shit like love and relationships and stuff like that. Like, but I, you know, for me personally, I still think his best movie is Pootie Tang. So, criminally underrated. Yeah, man, the affairs alleged have gone on for like 6 months. Of course, Chris and Carrie didn't respond for comment, request for comment. I don't know why they would. I think this is all, a lot of this started because Chris has been talking about his divorce and, infidelity, during the time that he was married. And so now people are trying to trace back, like, who are these women? Who is he sleeping with?
Yeah.
Now, so, you
know. Total blackout tour. I'm gonna try to see him when he comes to the Garden in December.
Oh yeah.
I know Randolph and Andy and Petey have already seen. Petey saw him twice, and yeah, so they say he's killing it.
Yeah. So, shout out to Petey, man. He be hating on Kendrick sometimes. Petey, calm down, bro. If you listen to this, getting a little too carried away. All right.
I don't know, man. Like I've been following that guy for like what, 8 years, 7, 8 years now.
Yeah.
Like he can't help it if he's, I mean, shit. Well, if you just want to break down the last three, like, quote unquote proper albums, I mean, he hasn't missed.
Right. Know. I'm just saying, just calm it down on the Kendrick hate. All right, guys. I get it's cool to hate on what's popular now, but y'all be taking it too far. Drake is right there being sorry. Okay. He is right there for y'all to hate. And y'all just skip right over that nigga and come right to Kendrick. Kendrick ain't do nothing to you. Anyway, yeah, apparently, he says, I was a piece of shit during his marriage, to Malak Compton Rock, revealing they cheated with three women, one famous, one semi-famous, and one member of the retail class.
I guess I'm a member of that class.
Retail class, you know, like, I guess, maybe working at behind the counter at the jewelry store or something. I don't know. He was cheating on his wife with Carrie when they were filming I Think I Love My Wife about him, ironically having fantasies of cheating on his wife. That went on for a while, for like 6 months, and she found out. There's no gray area. The alleged affair took place in 2007, the same year Washington broke off her 3-year engagement to actor David Moscow. The scandal star has been married to NFL player Amandi Asamoah since 2013, with whom she shares a 3-year-old daughter and a 6-month-old son. It was previously reported that Carrie began dating her husband when she starred in a Broadway play called Race, which premiered in 2009. Did you see that, Chris?
I did not.
All right, just checking.
I heard it was good, though. David Mamet play.
A separate source told Page Six that Rock's marriage was rocky when the cheating admission was just part of his routine. I took it as a joke when he says he cheated with a famous person. He even says he cheated with a member of Destiny's Child, but not Beyonce, they said. He was friends with Carrie around that time. They did the movie together. He was also separated from Malak at the time. They were off and on a lot during their marriage. It was a rocky situation. And he's currently in a relationship with 33-year-old actress Megalyn Ichikonwoke. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I was hearing he was with Rosario, so who knows,
he
man.
Said he tried, like there's a Breakfast Club interview, and there's Hot 97, and then there's an Angie Martinez that came out like this past week. One of them, he was saying he tried to get at Rosario, but she was just like, nah.
Yeah.
He's like, who wouldn't, you know?
But, I mean, she is bad as fuck.
Yeah,
we've all seen Trance.
Yeah, yeah. I was trying to share. I don't know how to properly share. I was trying to share videos. I mean, not videos, but clips of her, and she's beautiful. Yeah, she is.
Yeah, she's a pretty girl. She's she's Nigerian, I think.
Are you talking about his wife? I mean, his fiance, the girl he's dating now. Or you talking about Rosario? Okay,
the girl now, right?
You talking about Carrie Washington? Karen? Oh, you talking about Carrie Washington from 2007? Oh, yeah, yeah. I was looking up them pictures yesterday because I had to remind myself.
I wasn't sharing right. I'm sorry. I forgot. I got to have a whole nother window open.
Yeah. Look, guys, you all have the internet if you're listening to this. And, you know, it's also a good movie, by the way. So, totally worth watching that movie.
Yeah. All the women are beautiful, but, yeah, I was looking at that.
All right.
I like She Hate Me, but I felt like Spike was trying to grind too many axes in that one. But it was interesting, though.
Classic Spike. First of all, look, I love Spike, but he hate white people so much, man. And he have to put it in everything. And that fucking Watergate shit in that movie was so forced. He ain't have nothing to do with nothing. He just wanted to be like, these fucking white people ain't shit, man. And I'm like, dude, what this got to do with the story?
Have a purpose for your hating.
Damn, this shit.
How come y'all ain't giving me no money, white people? I fucking hate y'all white motherfuckers. How come y'all ain't giving me no money? I'm trying to make a movie. You give Quentin Tarantino money.
Spike don't, because Spike be, boy, he be forcing it, man. So, and like, Spike write all his white people as overly evil racists with no,
you know what?
Like, there's no subterfuge. Like, it's just complete, like, Michael Rapaport calling people niggers racist.
You know what? He writes comic book character angry white man.
Yeah, like, it's never like how quote unquote real racism is, where you're just like, damn, I think that white dude didn't give me that loan because I'm black. It's never that. It's always like, these fucking niggers come in here to bank for some fucking loans, you fucking mook. You're like, I don't think that's what they do, right?
How did we get here? Not my Captain America. How the hell did we get here? Calm it down, Spike.
Spike hate white people, man, but it's mad. So good. I expect it now. You know what I mean? Like, what was that movie?
If I don't get it, I'm like, are you all right, Spike?
Like, he had the Miracle at Saint Anna.
Yeah, I didn't watch that, but yeah.
Like, I love that movie, but there's that whole, like, part with the bank was just like, all right, I guess, just, white people just hate niggas. I mean, I agree, but Jesus. Yeah. But, yeah. Also, that movie was, like, super weird with just, like, it's a little Hotep-ish, you know what I'm saying, with the blackmail fantasy of even this lesbian woman type, like, it was a lot. It was a lot. Yeah. But Kerry Washington was fine as fuck, though.
Mm-hmm. She fine. Mm-hmm.
She was fine as fuck, dog. All right, man, let's get into some, speaking of racism, let's get into some fucking with black people, guys. Let me play my song.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the globe. We find different articles that make us feel fucked with as black people. And we assign point scores from 0 to 100 in intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. Mm-hmm. Let's see who's first up. Here's one. A dad tells his daughter, "You're dead to me for going to the prom with a black man." High school seniors Philip Freeman and Anna Hayes from Lake Village Arc attended their school prom last week. Although the two good friends had a fantastic time, Anna's father didn't approve of her attending with a black student and subsequently went on a racist tirade after seeing social media photos of the event. "We are done. I won't be coming to your graduation, nor will I pay for your college. Go live with the niggers," he wrote in a text message. "I went to prom with a black guy, so that's a problem. Racist much?" she responded. She went with the sarcasm on daddy. "Yes, I am," he admitted. "You're dead to me." The verbal abuse gets worse, and he even refers to her black friend as subhuman. In an interview with BuzzFeed News, Anna said that she and her father haven't had much of a relationship since her early teens. When she moved in with her mom, her parents divorced when she was younger. She remembers her father being openly racist around her when growing up. Anna's half-sister on her mother's side is biracial, so she finds her father's views incredibly painful. So it sounded like mama had a black baby. Mm-hmm. And then he lost it. He really lost his shit. "He has told me that if I ever dated a black guy that I will and would be dead to him. I stood my ground for what I believe in, so he has called me several horrible things before." Well, you know what? I hope that this dating this dude isn't just a sign of rebellion. You know, I hope it's sincere. I hope this dude didn't just sign up to be a social media story. She described feeling incredibly sad after seeing messages and shared them with Philip, who subsequently posted them on Facebook. The photos have since gone viral, with many reacting in disgust at her father's reaction. "I cannot believe someone would cut off their own daughter just because they went to prom with a person of a different race," one woman commented. "That's really upsets me. People tend not to see racism actually exists until it affects them, hence all the 'I can't believe we're still going through this' post. I have legitimately never heard anyone outside of a documentary refer to a different race as subhuman. Hashtag heartbroken. These must be white people responses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then a lot of them don't really care.
So Anna request in a Twitter note, Anna requested people not contact her father's current or ex-wife. She stated that the whole point of the post is just to show that sadly in 2017 racism is still around, but hopefully people will see these messages and have a change of heart. Who do you think her daddy voted for, I wonder?
Bernie.
I don't know. It's Bernie or Trump.
Yeah, I wonder. Interesting.
No, but Bernie's Jewish, though.
True.
Do you think? But do you think like people would? Because people were telling. One guy was saying, "Oh, Bernie would have won." I'm like, but he's Jewish,
right? I don't understand how people that would be racist against black people, Mexicans, Muslims, all this shit would be like, but the Jewish dude, I'm cool with him. It's different. Like, I feel like they wouldn't have fucked with him either. You know. Plus
you say that to the cemeteries they went and kicked over the stones.
Yeah, like that neo-Nazi white supremacy shit ain't like it ain't too kind to Jewish people either, man.
In fact, for a lot of them, they number one on the list.
Yeah.
And but, you know what got me, if sorry to say it, but when his brother was crying at the convention, I was like, oh shit, dog. Like his brother was like, like just let it go, young.
Right.
Like that was fucked up too, I thought.
Wait, whose brother was crying? Bernie brother?
Yeah, wasn't his brother crying at the national convention?
Damn.
When they were doing the nomination joints.
Damn.
Y'all in the chat room, correct me if I'm wrong. But that was like I was like, why they know Hillary won, young.
Damn.
He won.
Yeah,
she won already, and I think it was like New Hampshire or something. He was crying and he was still trying to vote for Bernie, and it was like, dog, Hillary got it, it's over, let's get behind her and try to win this joint.
But bro, it's something about Bernie. Well, I feel like they like him more because he was the alternative to Hillary than they actually like Bernie.
Right.
And they might be able to, you know, get somewhere with this socialism shit if they kind of go back to the ground and build up a new candidate that's not Bernie. Like I could see them figuring a way to make that work, because it's just not gonna be Bernie, man. Like he old.
Yeah.
He already has some hangups around race. Black people don't fuck with him. Which is a huge problem if y'all trying to take over the Democratic Party.
Right,
so,
and it ain't because we not educated,
right? So it's gonna have to be somebody else. And I know that they just had a couple of local elections where Democratic Socialists won. So, you know, there's possible that maybe they can do something with these younger folks. I think that would be the smart way to go, because I think the bloom is off the rose for Bernie with a lot of America, and his comments about coddling these white races, working class people, have just totally turned off a lot of black people that, you know, are Democrats, and a lot of people that are black and socialists. I started seeing them turn on him a little bit. So, you know, I just don't think it's going to happen for him. But it's still the ideas are possible, but it's just going to take a person that can speak to race and speak to black people better than he can, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Anyway, 0 to 100 for this father that don't want her his daughter dating no black people.
Oh, 100.
100, Karen. Right. What about you, Chris?
100.
All right, I got to give it 100 as well. So say we all. Yes, Jules was dropped from 2 Toronto events after a controversial tweet.
And who was this?
Okay. Yes, Jules is a social media influencer named Jules Goddard, more commonly known as Yes Jules, YESJULZ. She's mostly famous for being a white woman with a big old ass.
Oh, okay. That's why I don't know nothing about her. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that I didn't know. I haven't heard of her. What
right?
This?
You normally,
you know, she don't rap, so that's why we ain't never heard of her.
So I guess Chris,
I ain't heard of her since Friday.
Chris, you ain't subscribed to pog.com? I'm surprised.
You don't get
the weekly alerts, the weekly mail. Now I don't know if that's true. I don't even know if that's a site. Although, how could it not be? How could it not be a site?
Guarantee it's a site.
If it ain't a site, buy that Earl, Chris. You might want
it
to.
It is the home of that of the fat ass white girls, exclusive HD videos of the biggest and roundest asses.
Holy shit!
Biggest, biggest and best asses in the world come to get fucked.
So yeah. it is a website. I guess it could not be.
Yeah, somebody had to be smart enough to buy that one.
At any rate,
I'm gonna bookmark that.
Yeah, save for later. There you go. But yeah, she also is I think she had a sex tape that got leaked not too long ago. She was trending on Twitter for a little bit a couple weeks ago because she was charging $15,000 to talk to her for 15 minutes, and she was gonna give you advice on how to whatever you wanted to talk to her about. And people was like, yeah, this is crazy. Any of you niggas pay this, you deserve to lose your $15,000. Well, she was dropped from two upcoming appearances in Toronto after a tweet of hers on Thursday night was roundly criticized for using racist language. Women Inspiring Passion and Purpose, WIPP Toronto, and Utopia Music Fest both released statements on Friday morning saying they would no longer be working with her for their upcoming events. The tweet in question is now deleted, but you can see the picture below. She had a picture of a shirt that a cutoff shirt, and it says niggas lie a lot, and she put, so am I allowed to wear this shirt at the festival tomorrow or nah, with the eye emojis. In a series of follow-up tweets, she said her intentions were misunderstood. Guys, I was calling out someone who suggested I wear this t-shirt he made. I clearly wouldn't wear it. That was what the tweet meant. Sorry if I offended anyone. That was and never is my intention. You buy that, Karen? Mm-mm. Yeah, I don't necessarily think she literally meant I'm gonna wear this shirt, but clearly it wasn't about calling out whoever. She didn't tag the person. She didn't go, this is disgusting, don't send me this.
Yeah, she just said, somebody sent me this shirt, y'all. That time, people can read. That wasn't included in the original post.
And earlier in the week, I think she had done an interview. And in that interview, she had talked about, because somebody, basically a white dude interviewing her, of course, was like, well, you know, you're in these hip-hop circles, and you know, I mean, technically, you probably could be given an N-word pass. And she was like, well, a lot of people don't know that, her girl was in the background. I was like, a lot of people don't know that she's half Puerto Rican. So, you know, she could say it. And Jess Jules was like, yeah, I could say it, but, you know, I just don't or whatever. And I'm like, girl, come, you know, you are a white woman, and you know your ass can, if you say that shit, you will get dragged from here to motherfucking the Mayflower.
And the Puerto Rican history with America is different. No, ma'am.
Yeah. So, yeah, they both places took her off of their shit, replacing her with another co-host. Which is amazing, right? Because this woman, and I mean, no offense to her, she didn't really have any talent necessarily.
That's why
she's just been making money, being associated with hip-hop and being a quote-unquote social media influencer, which, you know, she takes pictures at concerts, people fly her out because she has a lot of followers on Snapchat and shit. People fly her out just to be like, she was here. You know, she got pictures hugged up with all these black men, rappers and shit. She said some shit in the past that was a little bit dicey about black women, the way black women look at you when they see you with a black man, they be hating on you and shit like that.
It's not that, it's the fact that a lot of black women built exactly like your ass and do the same shit you do, but they're not white, so they're not getting.
And I follow most of those black women.
Mm-hmm. I do.
So, you know, that
you should see my Instagram. It's really embarrassing.
My Instagram and Snapchat be lit.
I can't get famous. My Instagram look like Drake Instagram.
I don't think she meant no harm, but I think she just flew too close to the sun.
Icarus.
She was on some Icarus shit where she just kind of just stay in your lane, make your money, do your thing. You don't have to be provocative. You was doing all right. Who is this black guy that she's with? This guy, she's sitting at these basketball games with him.
I don't know. Some nigga. Hey man, that's the thing. I blame white girls evolving Twitter. You know, them brothers that be giving white women props for doing the bare minimum. One dude flew in like Superman was yesterday, and he's some famous DJ something, and he had a whole lot of Twitter followers, got the check mark, and he was like, y'all just want to be mad at something. Y'all ain't say nothing when she was helping them kids in Haiti. And I was like, so does everybody that help people in Haiti get to call people nigga? What's the rule? is that a thing? Like, I donated enough, guys. Come on. Like, get the fuck out of here, man. Just be like, she fucked up and leave it alone. It ain't, if it's really not that big a deal, just let it go. Cause honestly, nobody ever gets canceled. The only way that she'll really be injured by this is the fact that her brand was her proximity to blackness.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if you, you know, you have to treat black people like a constituency that deserves some respect. You can't just be out here playing fast and loose, man. Cause, you know, like, you wouldn't, she put it this way, if you were big time in Hollywood, you wouldn't tweet out some anti-Semitic shit and then be like, can I say this? Ha ha ha, guys. People would be like, cancel her. That's it. Rap. Anyway. 0 to 100, Karen.
I mean, she get 100.
All right. So no jewels is what you're saying?
No okay. jewels.
All right. What about
is
you, Chris?
Got a Z on it.
She was about to buy NBC.
I'm going to say. I'm going to say 95 because she's got a nice ass.
All right. Yeah, you had to grade on the curve. White girls are riding curve.
I had to throw on a little bit of a cape.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris didn't put on a full Superman suit, but he went in and took off his tie in the booth.
Yeah, he took off his tie. thought about taking off the shirt. Was like, nah, I keep the shirt on.
Y'all can't see it unless you watch this live, but he did this new. He didn't fully put on a cape, but he definitely was like, well, should I?
He untightened it, like, you know, if she fuck up again, I just take the shirt off.
Oh man, that's fucked up.
She took a selfie with like just half of her, like a Nirvana cutoff shirt, and you could see like the under boob. And I'm like, okay, maybe she really didn't mean.
I mean, she twerking in this video. I mean, think about it.
I mean, she did take a picture with Ray Sherman. So right. I mean,
how racist could she be? All these niggas want to fuck her.
Yeah, I don't even know who Ray Sherman is.
Yeah,
it's like somebody in the chat room did, I think, mentioned Katy Perry, because Katy Perry said something.
We talked about her last week.
Akata Queen. She said some shit like she called some rappers some niggas or something.
Okay, so she did two things. One, by the way, 100. All right, so she did two things.
Yeah,
one, first she dyed her hair black, and somebody on her, she was going like Instagram or Snapchat live, and somebody was like, oh, you cut your hair off, oh, I missed the blonde hair, whatever. And she was like, oh, you missing it, well, do you miss Obama too? Like, trying to be funny.
Nobody laughed,
right? Which is funny because she was at the Women's March, and she also has those conservative Trump supporting family parents that disowned her for a little bit. So, and she was like, well, no matter what, guys, you need to come together because we all need to go to Thanksgiving. It's like, no, your racist family needs you to go to Thanksgiving. Like, my family not like that. And then another, a dude came out that's like a DJ or something, and he talked about when she hung out with them in Paris a couple years ago, and he had tweets from back then when he had brought this up. But he was like, yeah, Katy Perry was around us calling us niggas and shit, thinking it was a joke, thinking it was funny. And we told her several times, like, yo, cut that shit out, it's really not funny. And she just kept up with the, oh, niggas in Paris, all my niggas and shit like that. So that's what she caught the heat from. Yeah, man, the bar, you know how it is. Black dudes, we will lower the bar if we think we can fuck you. That's really all that is.
Why are these titty white women and big asses just messing up?
And it's because niggas lower the bar, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, we just don't do that for white dudes. You know, ain't no white dude that we let. Like, there's no story about, like, remember that time Matthew McConaughey got real comfortable? Like, there's no story like that, because they know that we would evacuate that motherfucker right up out of the black sphere for that shit. Yeah.
But he got a black, don't he got a black baby?
Brown, I thought. And his wife, like, brown. Some type of brown. I'm just, you know, yeah. My point being, you know.
I know.
Them niggas can hang out, but it's different rules. Like, white dudes have different rules because, you know, it's always some brother that's like, maybe if I stand up for her, she give me some pussy. And That dude can't wait to hop in front of them bullets. Like, no, we will not. You will not do this to this good white woman. She helped the kids in Haiti. Okay. Ashley Graham, that fine, thick model. You guys know her.
Yes, I didn't know she had a black, she got a black husband.
She do got a black cousin, man. She's Latina, even though her last name is Graham. A lot of people, you know, try to fight her on that, but she is Latina. And she talked about the first time her family met her husband, brought Justin home to Nebraska. Now, I should probably mention Justin is black and that I didn't grow up around many black people. The sum total of what I learned about African-American culture in school was Martin Luther King Jr., Rosa Parks, and the Underground Railroad. This was more than my mom knew. She didn't even see a black person in real life till she was 18 years old. I never told Justin any of this. I never told my grandparents that the man I was bringing home was black. What kind of get out bullshit was this?
Yeah, a lot of times people think that's cool. That's not cool. They got to know in advance because that becomes a problem.
Well, listen, Karen, if her dad could have voted for Obama a third time, he would have, okay?
Mm, you better run.
Uh-huh. he got there and that, that field hand was there, top of the line, one of a kind.
You know, if I'm dating you and we have another race, I'm like, they know I'm black, you tell me no, that might actually be the end of the relationship because you don't even love me enough to let them know that I'm not of the race. Mm-mm.
She said, I naively hoped everyone would be colorblind, which is not what happened. When my grandparents met Justin, my grandmother was cordial but cold. She greeted him and immediately walked away. When it came time for them to leave, my grandparents didn't even acknowledge him. Instead, my grandmother looked me in the eye with Justin standing beside me and said, tell that guy I said goodbye. I had never seen my loving, hardworking, and wonderful grandma be so hurt and so racist. I was in shock. Mm. You know what's funny is even in that she can't divorce the idea because it's your grandmama. She has to, my loving, hardworking, wonderful grandma, because you can't just be like, my grandma is a racist piece of shit now. You know what I mean? So he did mention that he was disappointed, though not at all shocked by her family's racist behavior, noting that her grandma probably only knew black men through BS she's seen on TV.
Right.
When Ashley's grandparents' 60th wedding anniversary came around, he called to congratulate them. Her grandma in particular has loved him ever since. Yeah. I wonder if they got any kids, too, because that'll change them, too, sometimes.
If for some reason, that breaks a lot of older people.
Right. They be like, I hate these niggers. What? Look at this little adorable brown baby. It's different now. Yeah. All right.
Most of the babies are dope. You're right, Karen. They look great. So you can't, you know.
Mm-hmm. People be racist today. See them little mixed babies and they just try to come around. People so weird, man. Anyway, 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, 100 for her. But not telling her, his family, and preparing them for the shock. Don't do this, people.
Chris?
98, because I just started following her on Instagram, and she is a looker.
She is fine, man. She's
fine.
Like, I don't know if her grandparents are white or, like, what her racial mix is or whatever, because I know there's also anti-blackness in the Latino faction sometimes.
Yes, it is.
It could be a George Lopez situation or something like that. I don't know. But for me personally, you know, she is fine enough for me to give it a try. Like, sad, but I'll be up in there like, he only called me nigga once. I don't know if I should leave yet. You know, she's fine as fuck. Yeah. Anyway, 100. 100 for her, 100 for her grandmama. All the motherfuckers get 100. Because that's a lot of people's nightmare right there. All right, we get an hour and 20 minute limits on these sessions. I got to go to the next session, Chris. I'm going to invite you right back on screen to just take a minute. Give me a second. Went to full get out.
Right. I know a lot of people think that's cute and cool, but that shit ain't cute and cool. You need to let somebody know that I'm not of the ethnicity.
Right.
Because if it's a problem, let me know up front. Because I don't have no problem ending the relationship because it ain't that important to me.
It's also weird that people assume that their folks must not be racist because it's just never come up. You know what I mean? Like, that's a weird assumption to just be like, well, obviously they're not racist. They've never had a situation where they talked about black people, although we've never had them in our house. We never met. I've never dated anybody. They've never had a friend come over that was of a different race.
Right, that shit matters to black and brown people. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a deal breaker. People try to act like, well, I'm post-racial, everybody else is. Nah, dog, it don't work like that.
Yeah, so, at any rate, though,
Alexis, somebody said Alexis Bledel is Latina.
Who is?
Gilmore Girls chick.
Oh, I don't watch that show. I'm sorry.
She was on Mad. I mean,
maybe she Latino like that girl in the that was the love interest in Slight. You know, where like she is Latina, but you know, if you 99% of people looking at her would just think she was a white girl.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So it could be that too. Let's see. Any more SZM to talk about?
Are you gonna do white people news?
Oh, we gonna do it. You know, I wouldn't get you. You think I would get you on here and not give you what you need, brother?
I think that's one of my favorite recently newish segments.
I got you, man.
Yes, Ken. You had a story about what is that stupid stuff that Miley Cyrus said? I seen something about her floating around.
Oh yeah,
Jesus
yeah.
Christ!
I didn't. I thought you was gonna cover. No.
I literally forgot. I thought I saved it, and fucking, I must have lost it. Miley Cyrus is done with hip hop. Says she can't listen to it anymore because it's too misogynistic. Which every black person that from the time that she was twerking them little struggle twerks, all of us were like, yeah, no shit. You like, we struggle knew twerks. We knew this was happening. You know, like, you can go and film
Justin Bieber and sit in the corner,
and you can go film a series with Woody Allen, which apparently is not problematic at all. No problem. That's fine. But you know, God forbid DJ Mustard say something, because that's too far. Yeah, Miley Cyrus, who once dated producer Mike Will Made It, wore a rubber penis and nipple pasties during the concert, sang Kids, My Neck, My Back on stage, and dropped an entire hip hop inspired Bangers with a Z album. Now says rap is misogynistic and gross. After Party in the USA, where young Miley Cyrus references playing Jay-Z, then admittedly later on reveals that she has never actually heard a Jay-Z song before, Miley hooked up with Mike Will and found herself collaborating with the likes of Juicy J, French Montana, Pharrell Williams, and Wiz Khalifa. She was name dropped in rap songs from Migos to Jay-Z himself, who she was credited for making twerking quote unquote mainstream. A few years and a beef with Nicki Minaj later, Miley says she's putting some distance between herself and hip hop.
Yeah, she wanted to be white again. She wanted that white money.
That was Hannah Montana, Karen. She was always happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the thing. All you got to do is dip yourself in the water and let that brown and tan wash off of you, and all of a sudden you white again.
Yeah, I saw a picture of Marky Mark in some Malcolm X gear the other day, and I was like, I didn't even remember that happening. Yeah. You never seen that picture?
No.
Bruh. Man. I seen that picture.
Marky Mark out.
He was
as
in
Malcolm X,
bruh. Okay, I'm gonna have to put it in the chat for y'all. He was literally in Malcolm X gear, and yeah, I hadn't seen that picture before. I don't know what the fucking context was, but you know, knowing we know about Mark Wahlberg now is pretty ironic, to say the least.
Oh, I see. Is it? He's got like the By Any Means Necessary shirt with the cross colors.
That's him, bruh.
I'm looking right? at it now.
Right?
Oh, man. Boston Strong, you guys.
Then he went on, right. Then he went on to make a whole lot of movies about saving the world from brown people. So
he's gonna play the guy that said nigger at the called what's my man, Alex Jones, a nigger. And then Peter Brett. Every time something bad happens now, I just say Mark Wahlberg's
gonna
play the guy that had to deal with the Pepsi commercial. Like, right. I fucking love it.
Like, as long as a white person was involved in,
12 to 18 months, it's gonna be moving.
As long as a white person was involved in fixing whatever it was, he gonna get the job.
Mm-hmm.
But,
trying to cue it up.
Yeah, I'm bringing it up now. But that's the thing, though. This isn't new to us, to black people. Like,
no.
You can almost see this shit coming from a mile away, that these people are gonna, like, dabble in blackness for a short amount of time.
Well, as long as it benefits them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I mean, same thing. I'm saying the same thing. Like, to make money and shit, they're gonna dabble in it for a short amount of time. And then eventually they'll leave it behind because it was just a marketing ploy, the same way that Miley Cyrus pulling her titties out and wearing a cock on stage and
having them black women bounce and jiggle around her.
Yeah, and when she was like, I just got them because I like twerking. I didn't think it's because they were black. The same way that, yep, that's him. The Cross Colors, By Any Means Necessary, Malcolm X shirt. Mark Wahlberg, the guy who, you know, threw rocks at Asian people and black people as a kid. I wonder if that was around the same time that he was throwing rocks at black people and Asian people in Boston, the most not racist city on earth. Because it's an anomaly because, you know, Boston is so not racist. It's almost like reverse racism, how not racist they are. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. She says, but I also love that Kendrick new song, Show Me Something Natural Like Ass with Some Stretch Marks. She is playing in an interview. I love that because it's not Come Sit on My Dick, Suck on My Cock. I can't listen to that anymore. That's what pushed me out of the hip hop scene a little. It was
and
too
the
much.
Fact that you wouldn't flames no more. So, you know, ain't like this happened when you was hot. Well, I don't know who considered her hot, but when, you know, white people consider you hot for nigga shit. Now, since they don't, you like, fuck it.
It was too much. Lamborghini got my Rolex, got my girl on my cock. I'm so not that. I know she couldn't have really dated a black man. She says cock. And we know that's not our word. Okay?
That's y'all word.
Right. That's white people's word.
Because I mean, when I first started, I was like, cock? What's a cock? Like, I was thinking chicken. What the fuck is this?
I feel like the only black person that says cock and means it is Randy Moss. I could see him saying it.
Yeah, right.
He got that kind of swag. Yeah, that girl gonna take this cock. take that cock, dog. I can see him doing it.
I believe you, sir.
But nobody else. No other black people talk like that.
Yeah, like I said, that's
so random, but it's probably true.
Yeah, he
the only one.
Yeah, on Ballsy Sport, man, me and Justin stoned across that. I was like, yo, I bet Randy Moss say cock. He just seemed like that type of nigga. They go fly fishing and say cock, man.
Fucking hilarious.
Which if you take it another level is even more amazing because I know with all my being, I believe motherfucking Jason Williams White Chocolate say dick. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. And they went to the same high school and was best friends. Like I feel like Randy say cock and Jason J. Will say dick for sure, dog. You can't tell me otherwise, man.
Oh shit. Oh man. I'm done with you, Rob.
It's like six people that get that joke. It's mind-boggling to me that there was even a controversy around me having black dancers. That became a thing where people said I take advantage of black culture. And with Mike, what the fuck? That wasn't true. Those were the dancers I liked, she said. This is when she was defending that on her Bangers album. Mm-hmm. She says her new album will be political / rootsy, a completely different sound from Bangers.
Rootsy? What the fuck?
Going back to whiteness, man. Yeah.
Nigga says you can't benefit no more. Niggas like, you not hot no more.
Right. So.
I mean, she was never hot to me, but somebody put her up there, so.
Yep. So. Which is funny because people are like, you know, the rap music is misogynistic. And like, you know, that ain't the fucking point, dog. Like, why we always got to find an angle to agree with some bullshit? Why can't we just be like, obviously this girl don't care about that rap shit. She made her money and that's it. Like, she don't. She's out of it now because it ain't serving her no more. And Trump's America is easier to go back to fucking country music and get that love again.
Yeah,
that's where the bread is at.
Right. That's right. Where the bread is at. And she's past the phase of, I'm a woman, y'all. I'm a woman. Here's my ass. Here's my pussy. Like a lot of people who are in that preteen Disney area, they like want to break where they're like, I wanted you to know this particular. For some reason, women, I don't know why men don't go through this because they are men stars that, you know, deal with Disney, these other platforms, but they're like, hey, I got proof to you, I'm a woman. So it comes to the point where they do these gimmicks and that don't work for long.
Yep. So there you guys go, guys. 0 to 100, Karen.
I'm 100, fucker.
Karen's going with 100. All right. What about you, Chris?
She doesn't have a bigger enough ass for me to give her in the 90s, so I say 100.
Yeah, yeah. She gotta at least get ass injections or something. Because I'm not even tugging at the, I'm not tugging at my tie knot for this. Hell no.
And I'm plus, I'm more of a Wizards of Waverly Place kind of guy anyway than Hannah Montana.
That's what we always said about you. All right, and for me, I give it 100 as well. You know, which is sad because it's not like I'm outraged. I'm just like, it's, at this point, it's like giving somebody 100 because they, you know, did a good dunk in the dunk contest, but I'm not shocked. I'm just like, yeah.
Wait, can I ask you guys this? Do you think if I got a couple movies, or if my status rose a little bit more, that I could take Selena Gomez away from The Weeknd?
I doubt it. I'm sorry.
Fuck.
Man. I'm sorry, bro.
His ocean will be always crashing on her land.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, that Justin Bieber says it's all just for show anyway. So maybe it's a fake romance. Maybe you got an affair or something.
Maybe.
We'll see. All right, guys, time for white people news. Let me play the song. Today's song is a cover of Solange's Cranes in the Sky.
No! What was this? I didn't realize that. What the fuck that was?
When is she gonna start singing?
I tried to drink it away. I tried to put one in the air. I tried to dance it away. I tried to change it with my hair.
That blonde hair.
I ran my credit card and loan.
My parents gonna pay it off though.
Thought a new dress would make it better. I tried to work it away. But that just made me even sadder. I tried to keep myself busy. I ran around in circles
till I made myself dizzy.
I slept it away. I sexed it away. I read it away.
Away, away, away.
Rod's backing her up.
Away, away.
I disapprove.
Away, 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 away.
But it's like cranes in the sky.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Sometimes I don't want to feel those metal clouds.
Come through, Becky.
Yeah, it's like
cranes in the sky.
Rod's actually harmonizing with her. Like, Rod's gonna go on tour.
I tried to run it away.
All right, that's enough for you guys. Sure you're all satisfied. Time to talk about white people news, okay? Now, of course, it's very difficult to get straight into white people news without talking about what white people did to this country. So we definitely had to talk about that y'all's man and this Trump administration first. All right, guys?
All right.
First of all, the House passed a bill that affects overtime pay. Do you get paid for overtime work? Well, your ass might not know more. Apparently, they passed a bill, the House of Representatives, that instead of paying you a time and a half for overtime, companies will have the option to pay you in paid time off.
I want no goddamn paid time off.
So they can be like, your check gonna still be the same even though you work 60 hours, but tell you what, we'll give you an extra day off as opposed to giving you that time and a half money.
And you know what? For a lot of people, I'm not working it. Like, if my job does this, nah, I'm not working overtime. I'm good. I am good. I'm taking my black ass home. If my pay gonna be the same, you're not getting a fucking extra minute off of me.
So you just not gonna have no job.
I mean overtime, which means it's over and above the normal requirement.
Okay. I don't know if they give you that. I think the company is the one that has the option.
Yeah, I'm saying if my job does this and something happens
and they ask you to work overtime,
I'm saying no. Because
so what if they make it mandatory and then they pay you time? They pay you in time off.
I'm just gonna be mad then.
The Well, I'll find, see if I can find a cover of Mad by a white woman.
And finding another job.
Congressional exemption from the GOP. The Congress is exempt from that stupid ass healthcare plan they passed.
Right.
So now the thing was, the Obamacare thing, Congress had to have the Obamacare, which is how, you know, the Obama administration was making sure that these motherfuckers would be somewhat reasonable and invested in the healthcare, because it was like, this is what y'all got too. And now they don't have to do that. They can opt out of this healthcare that's good enough for the rest of you fucking Americans, but not us. Yep. Republicans just repealed an Obama rule to help workers save for retirement. The rule was not particularly controversial when Obama issued it. Even some conservative state officials defended the rule and lobbied Republicans not to scrap it, saying a repeal would complicate their own programs and make it harder for workers to save for retirement. Mm-hmm. But of course, they don't want that because Obama's name was on it, so they had to take that off.
Right. That's all. All this is just when people say erasing his legacy, I don't think people really understand what erasing his legacy means.
The only interest group that cared to see it go was Wall Street.
Of course.
Which is funny because people swear this nigga belongs to Wall Street. Wall Street is very interested in getting a lot of his laws and regulations from his administration off the fucking books.
Right.
Cause it seems very interesting for people that accuse him of being a plutocrat and oligarch and all this shit that they called him. And then it's like, damn, it seemed like a lot of the stuff, the work being erased, is to save corporations, insurance companies, Wall Street firms. Like, interesting.
Because he's trying to run it like a business, because that's all that he knows. And then people are getting upset, like, well, this is who y'all voted for. And like, I don't, and it, and part of it is the erasure of what Obama put forth. So it's affecting everybody.
Got that black ass name on it.
Right, because and that's the thing about racism. I just said this, and racism is so illogical that racism will risk its own death, because that's how dedicated they are to the racism.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck.
Nope.
Under the GOP health plan, sexual assault could be considered a pre-existing condition. Mm-hmm. Also, PTSD from sexual assault, a bunch of shit, like diabetes, pregnancy.
And a lot of the shit affects men and women, but a lot of it affects women. Right. But like somebody brought up, where is
C-section?
Yeah,
see, a lot. Viagra is covered under the new healthcare plan,
right? Erectile dysfunction, why is that a pre-existing condition? Like, right. Like a lot of this shit affect men and women, but the bulk of it affects women. Like, when the last time you seen a man with a C-section?
Right,
you know, and that's just from a lot for women have C-section for various different reasons, but the biggest one is from having a baby. Mm-hmm. You know, pregnancy, it is gonna go fall back on that pre-existing, because like for some reason care for women is a lot higher than care for men, so they like anything that affects a woman, we're trying to chop it and get rid of it.
Yep. So that's the thing now. Women might have to choose between talking about being sexually assaulted or getting the health care in some states, possibly. So
yeah, and then one of these motherfuckers went on TV in front of a room full of white folks, because now they mad, you know, that I'm glad you joined the boat, hopefully you'll stay, but I know as soon as you get the shit you want, you're going back on a racism boat again, but I'm glad you're here temporarily. But anyway, a lot of them were mad, and that dude talking about don't nobody die from not having enough health care, and the room erupted. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, people die. When people have to make a choice, you're gonna have a lot of people that's gonna opt not to have it. And like I told Roger yesterday, it's gonna boil back to how it was before we had this. Well, the number one reason people were filing for bankruptcy was medical bills.
Yep.
Yeah. It seems like it's their way of thinning the herd. The more that I think about it, it's just
right.
Like, it's just like, well, if you don't have it, you're just gonna fucking die. And
right. And when you tell them that, don't nobody want to believe that. But yes, you're telling people that we don't give a fuck and you're going to die.
Yeah, people didn't want to, like, because the thing with the Obamacare shit was, in his mind, it was, well, you'll have these premiums and shit, but the next president, when people see how this plan is much more helpful than just not having insurance, people will realize we need this, the next president should be voted in as a Democrat just on the fact that the basis that people need health care, among other progressive things that we've done in this administration. And that president will push this progress forward and hopefully make it so we get single payer at some point. And yeah, it's never gonna happen probably now. So
it wasn't, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, it wasn't the Obamacare synonymous with what Mitt Romney was doing in Massachusetts?
It was, and even Mitt Romney was like, no, it's not good for the nation, just for my people and my shit, just in my state. Yeah. We should let states do it, but not everybody should not do it.
And the thing about it is that all these ideas were Republican ideas, right. But for some reason, uh-huh, a nigga can't get credit for it, so we gotta erase it, and they're gonna replace it with nothing. And that's the thing, they didn't have anything to replace it with, so they like, we're just gonna scrap your shit and replace it with nothing,
right?
Or if we do bring some shit back, it ain't gonna be all the shit that you have now,
right? All right, let's get into the good white people news. Okay, guys, all right, we've done enough. Alanis Morissette's ex-manager is headed to prison for stealing millions.
Woo! Isn't it ironic,
don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
I would say it is ironic because, much like that song, it's unfortunate.
Come on.
But it's not ironic. A Hollywood accountant is bound for federal prison after he used access to his famous client's money as a personal ATM. Jonathan Todd Schwartz, 48, was sentenced Wednesday to 6 years in prison for embezzling millions a celebrity roster of clients that included singer-songwriter Alanis Morissette. Wait, what do you mean that's all? How long should a nigga go to prison for this?
I don't know.
Death sentence it's just some money. It'll be all right. People really. My dad told me a long time ago, he was like, listen, if you want to go to jail for a short period of time, you better off killing a black person than taking some white people money. So I don't live by them rules. I say if you can get these fools, I don't think you should have to go away forever. Okay.
I didn't say forever.
6 years, a long time.
Yeah, but you stole a lot of money.
How much should it be, Karen? What'll make you feel better?
I don't know what the number is.
You don't need another number. Mm-mm. So if I would have just said 10 years, you would have been like, that's fine.
Okay, so 10.
All right, well, he going for 6. The Canadian singer's former business manager admitted to stealing nearly $5 million from her over a 4-year period as part of a scheme to fund his lavish lifestyle. In addition to Morissette, he embezzled more than $1 million from an unnamed entertainer and nearly $800,000 from another client. Appearing at Schwartz sentencing on Wednesday, Morissette, damn, she showed up. You know she was mad.
I would have showed up too.
She came to the court. I see you, girl. Get them coins. She told the U.S. District Court Judge Dolly M. Gee that the former accountant stole from her in a long, drawn-out, calculated, sinister manner. When initially confronted about the irregularities of Morissette's accounts, Schwartz lied and said the funds were an investment in an illegal marijuana growing operation. Schwartz, at the time a certified public accountant at Los Angeles GSO Business Management LLC, withdrew funds from Morissette's accounts, then reported them as sundry personal expenses to her employer. He would pick up the money himself or have it delivered to his office, with the resulting bank statements also going to GSO rather than to his clients. GSO subsequently sent financial statements to clients based on the falsified information provided by Schwartz. After Schwartz's malfeasance came to light, GSO fully cooperated with the FBI and the IRS investigation into his actions.
Right, because they didn't have anything to do with that. And also, would that strip him of his license?
I'm sure that's part of it.
Yeah, I said that better be part of the deal.
That's a given.
Right, but you don't ever know. You got a lot of doctors out here fucking up, and they're going like, we suspended him, but he can still keep his license.
He also falsified 2012 tax return and acknowledged that he owed nearly $2 million of that ill-gotten gain to the IRS.
Yeah, I'm showing up too, because that's money she ain't never getting back.
Nope. I agree. You know what? It's like rain when it, on your wedding day sometimes. Let's see what else happened in white people news. Princess Charlotte had her second birthday, and it was marked with a new royal painting, a royal picture. Yep, they took a picture of her. It's like Instagram to the stars, you know.
Mm-hmm.
London, a new family photo of Princess Charlotte, the youngest child of Britain's Prince William and Duchess Kate, was released Monday to mark her second birthday.
Can we see it?
I'm putting it on screen. It was taken by the Duchess herself at the family's country home in Norfolk, England. And it shows, let me see what it says. Oh wait, they said they were very pleased to share the photograph as they celebrate Charlotte's second birthday.
She's so precious.
Ain't she? Look at that little monarch. Their Royal Highness would like to thank everyone for lovely messages they have received and hope that everyone enjoys this photograph of Princess Charlotte as much as they do. The princess, whose birthday is Tuesday, was named Charlotte Elizabeth Diana in tribute to both her late grandmother Diana, Princess of Wales, and her grandmother Queen Elizabeth II. Her older brother Prince George is third in line to the British throne. He will start school in September. Look at this picture with Prince George and Prince Charlotte. Princess Charlotte, I mean. That was in 2015. William and Kate, who are formerly known as Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, will be spending more time in London after William leaves his job as an air ambulance helicopter pilot later this year. ITV News reported he will devote more time to his royal duties.
I wonder, do he really be working at that job?
I want to know what it means to devote more time to your royal duties. What are those? Right?
You know he don't be going out for no calls.
Probably just like, it's probably PR shit. What'd you say, Chris? I'm sorry.
Probably got to make appearances and stuff, but then probably don't be doing shit, man.
I Christian this building in the name of England, shit like that. Like ribbon cutting ceremonies.
I christened this Panera Bread.
Right. Let me cut the ribbon on this Target. Let there be shopping. Megan Kelly hits the Time 100 gala with her husband Mia and Ronan Farrow and Katie Couric as she prepares to start her new $15 million a year NBC job. Megan Kelly mingled with celebrities at the Time 100 gala last Tuesday, weeks before her new NBC show begins production. The former Fox News host was spotted snapping selfies with RuPaul and Leslie Jones. You know that was black people. I need to, oh god, thank god, let's get some selfies with these black people.
She still get 100 in my book.
Things have been going bad. I feel like Leslie would take a selfie with anybody
because that's how
she just got that kind of personality.
She's a nice,
like, I'll just take a picture with you.
Right.
Nice.
Oh, here, look, come here, baby, let's take this picture, you know,
right,
what I'm
saying? No problem either.
But yeah, she was spotted snapping selfies. I know she probably walked by so many white people to get to them though. Other celebrities showed up at the exclusive gala. Ronan Farrow and Mia Farrow was chatting with Kelly and her husband before the event. The 46-year-old mother of three wore a fitted, sparkle-encrusted cognac dress with asymmetrical sleeve detailing. Monday, a network insider told the New York Post Page Six that Kelly will start working in May and that her Sunday night show will premiere in June. Yeah, there's a rumor that her first interview will be Putin. So... That's her and Leslie. Leslie look like she like, ooh, no, what's your name, white woman?
Now, who is you again?
Right.
Yep.
I think I seen you on Twitter somewhere when black folks was mad. Who is you?
Right. And then this is Leslie, RuPaul, and her taking a picture together. So there you guys go. And that's some other white people that was at the event. I don't know them. All right, let's go into another one. Let's see if we can get some. Oh, Kirk Douglas is apparently out here slanging that thing on his wife over the years, and his wife ain't care.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
But if that happened, you like it, I love it.
Kirk, yep. He never hid his dalliances. Hollywood icon Kirk Douglas, who dated Joan Crawford and Rita Hayworth, writes in his book that his wife, with his wife, and it's about his affairs. Damn.
Huh.
She ain't give a fuck. She like, did the check keep coming or not?
Hey, for some people, that's all that matters.
He turned 100 years old last year. He's released a book of letters and reminisced with his 98-year-old actress wife, Ann Douglas. The collection revealed that she's been aware of his philandering for over the 63 years of matrimony, but understood it was unrealistic to expect total fidelity in a marriage. I know a lot of men that are looking for this, you know? Mm-hmm. Just give me a woman I can treat like a fool. Kirk and Ann...
Did he used to play in the NBA or something? Like, like a shooting guard back in the day? Like, she just let him.
Ironically, right. This is the plot to every iteration of Love and Hip Hop.
Yeah.
Kirk and Ann, Letters of Love, Laughter, and A Lifetime in Hollywood was released Tuesday, and people marked the occasion by running the quotes from his pages. Kirk starred in such classics as 1952's The Bad and the Beautiful, as well as 19... It made me think of the Migos.
The Bad and the Beautiful.
In 1960s, he starred in Spartacus. He's also the father of Michael Douglas, who's 72. And writes that Kirk never tried to hide his dalliances from me. And only white people can cheat, and it still got a cool word. You know what I mean?
Dalliances.
Yeah.
That's
I got to Google that. What do you mean, old lady?
That sounds like Beyonce if she had perfume from being Italians.
Yeah.
I buy the shit out of it too.
I'm the classic.
I've had my dalliances with several women.
Right.
Oh, that's just good because he did it.
Yeah, he keeps it classy. He doesn't cheat on her. Yeah. He dallies.
Oh, this looked like they was into soap operas.
Yeah.
And they was called what, Bad and Bougie? Whatever you said.
The Bad and the Beautiful.
What's the name of their soap opera?
Kirk never tried to hide his dalliances from me, said that, and the Hanover native has attributed her laissez-faire outlook on the matter to her being European. So guys, if you want to cheat on a woman, get you a European. Apparently they don't give a fuck about you cheating. Kirk is
nice.
Right? Kirk has previously been married from 1943 to 1951 to Diana Deal, who had mothered his movie star son Michael Douglas and producer son Joel Douglas. Then when he met Anne in Paris, he was struck that this self-possessed beauty was very different from the women I had been involved with in Hollywood since Diana left me. In the book, he notes Anne wasn't neurotic like Jean Tierney, who always insisted I arrive for our nocturnal dates by climbing the tree outside her bedroom window. That is a lot, to be honest. Nigga could have fell and got fucked up. Offering up another bit of gossip, he added, she wasn't reckless like my much married oil heiress, Iron Reitzman, whom I found in our bed with Sidney Chaplin when I came home early from the studio. Kirk had been engaged to Italian actress Pierre Angeli when he met Anne, who was working in Paris on the publicity for his 1953 Anatole Litvak directed film Act of Love. Anne and Kirk married in 1954. They had two sons, 61-year-old producer Peter Douglas and actor Eric Douglas, who died at 46 of an accidental overdose in 2004. Kirk's movie star bedfellows were legion, from Joan Crawford to Rita Hayworth to Marlene Dietrich, as he divulged in his kiss-and-tell memoir, The Ragman Son. In their new joint book, Anne's written, Kirk secured my permission before including stories of his tryst in the 1988 autobiography, The Ragman Son, and... Oh, he needed her permission for that, but not the cheating. And I'm positive his candor helped him make the book a major bestseller. So there you guys go. Get you a woman that can do both. Where's her dalliances? Mm-hmm. That's the weird part to me. She wasn't fucking nobody.
She might have, but maybe she ain't. Maybe she didn't tell nobody.
Yeah, she probably just couldn't fuck no famous people. That's why she can't tell. She like, I fucked the pool boy, Jerome. Mm-hmm.
The gardener.
He was very nice. Let's see what else.
She's like the old Clippers owner. You can take pictures with him. You take pictures with him, but just don't bring him in. You can't fuck him. Don't bring him in the house.
Ming Ban Magic Johnson. What has he ever done for anybody?
Well, I mean, he's a champion. He's he's got businesses and. He's got AIDS.
Yeah, he's got AIDS is what he's got. How's that dude not dead yet?
Donald
Sterling's still alive. He was on his last legs when that shit came through. It didn't even kill him.
Nope. Mm-mm. You're going to take a little bit more than that.
Date night. Robert Pattinson keeps things casual in a beanie and a blazer as he takes his fiance, FKA Twigs, to celebrity hotspot Craig's.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I didn't know they got engaged. Good for them.
I didn't know they had. Is this in L.A.?
Yep, Los Angeles.
Okay, I was about to say, if this was in the U.K., I didn't know they had
Craig.
A soul food spot called Craig's.
Right. I was about to say, Craig sound lit.
I do like that FKA Twigs bringing this nigga to Craig's. You know what I'm saying? Like.
Yeah.
That's just hilarious.
Are we going to Craig's tonight?
Right. Would you like some collard greens? Yeah, the cute couple was seen dining at celebrity hotspot Craig's in West Hollywood. Pattinson, 30, was dressed down in a shirt, whilst Twigs, 29, wore a pretty dress. And of course, FKA Twigs is a singer, and Pattinson is the nigga from Twilight, the white dude.
Oh, was this the one that they
that was racist towards her, his fans, because he broke up with what the fuck is that non-acting plain face white girl?
Kristen Stewart.
He broke up with Kristen Stewart, or they broke up. Really, she was cheating on him with a director of that Snow White terrible movie. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. And now she's like, I think she's like bi now or gay now or something. But she's like on some whole other shit at this point. But even with that happening, even with Kristen Stewart moving on, being like, I'm into women now, I'm not fucking with this dude. His fans was being racist towards FKA Twig. Like, y'all broke up this couple, you nigger bitch. You're like, Jesus.
Yeah.
He had to come out and say something. That's sad, man. When the white man got to come out and be like, really, guys? Can you calm down on the sism against my girl?
Right.
Mm-mm-mm. You're high yelling nigger.
Right. I mean, anyway, I love your album, but you broke up a white couple. Yeah, the Twilight actor wore chinos and a gray jacket and a black beanie to complete his laid-back look. His fiance Twigs, real name Talia Debrett Barnett, styled her raven tresses in plaits and added a pair of chic sunglasses to her attire. Oh yeah, she looking good. She coordinated suspenders on the dress. This choker on her neck. Look at this shit. She fly as fuck.
She's pretty.
Lucky ass white man. You better make sure they don't be racist to her. Come find you. She also wore a very unique elaborate choker necklace and some dangle earrings to edge up her look. The talented musician showed off her piercing above her lip, whilst also flaunting her many rings and accessories. The engaged couple looked smitten as they kept close while leaving through the back door of the restaurant. The couple rarely speak about their romance, although FKA has said the public attention that romance has garnered is 100% worth it. She told The Observer back in 2014, that side of my life, the paparazzi, is nothing to do with me. That is the side of life of the man that I love, because that is the opposite of who I am as a person, and it was weird. Then I had to sit back and have a conversation with myself. I had to say, That is something really horrible. No, not horrible. I don't find it horrible. It's something that's very challenging. I look uncomfortable because I am uncomfortable. But then it's like, is this person in my life worth that? And yes, he is, without question. In comparison to how happy I am and how I feel with him, he is 100% worth it.
Aww.
Secure the bag, sis. Secure the bag. So that was their date night. Double denim. Emma Roberts opts for edgy jean look as she poses with her on and off boyfriend Evan Peters as star-studded benefit event. Emma Roberts showed off her cute and quirky side on Saturday evening. You guys may know her from the show Scream Queens.
Didn't see that one.
No, Chris, you see Scream Queens?
I tried to watch it.
It wasn't good.
I just know Nisha Nash was in it.
Well, she's a white starlet. I think Chris would be on it. She posed with her.
I like to.
Yeah.
Oh, God, sorry.
No. You got it. Go ahead.
She all right. She's cute. You know, she's straight.
All right. Well,
you know what? I just saw this. Rod, you know, I saw The Circle a couple days ago.
I saw that. Yeah.
Emma. What's the other Emma girl? Harry Potter girl. Hermione got a fatty.
Emma Watson? Is that the wrong person?
Emma Watson. I know this is Robert. Sorry. I was thinking of the other Emma, but yeah, I'm sorry.
So wait, Emma Watson mama got a fatty?
No, Emma Watson has a fatty, kind of.
Oh.
It's not Ashley Graham.
I'ma not believe that, man. I'ma say that's that Negro curve we be giving white girls.
Is it?
I'm not gonna buy it, because too often I end up disappointed, because I'm like, come on, man. Like, that's not even, like...
I mean, it's not, like... I mean, for a skinny white girl, it wasn't... I was like,
I know.
I mean, I don't know.
It's a subconscious curve. I'm not even saying it's black dudes. Everybody gives it to white women. It's a subconscious curve, man. Just... Everybody's okay. Always like, oh, she got a little, I mean, in there. Like, once you start making that sound.
No, you can work. I mean, I see it. I mean.
Once you start making that sound, you know it's not.
I mean, it was a little extra flour in there. That's where the little bump come from, yeah. You know, type of thing.
I can't get too excited about that, man.
Yeah, when people start responding like that, you go, oh, no, now.
Like, because I wouldn't say that about, like, Sarah J, the porn star. Like, I ain't never been like, she got a, you know, nah. I'm like, she got an ass. No, that's Sarah crazy. J,
yeah. Like, she's no Kendra. She's not Kendra Lust.
Right, but, yeah, I mean, you know, I see you. But, yeah, so, anyway, the Screen Queens actress, 26, posed with her own off-again boyfriend, Evan Peters, at City Year Los Angeles Spring Break event. The nonprofit organization threw an event in Culver City. Roberts dressed down in a pair of dark blue jeans and a patchwork denim jacket. Her brown locks were styled naturally as she showed off her porcelain skin.
Oh shit, be porcelain now?
I didn't even make that up. That's in there.
She alabaster angel.
The language.
Was she?
Oh my god.
Her egg white skin glistened. In the lights, she accessorized with a cute green handbag and a pair of gold heels. The wild child actress added some mauve lipstick and dark smoky eye makeup to complete her evening look. Peters also looked laid back in a pair of dark trousers, a khaki shirt, and black jacket. He added a pair of suave brown shoes as he showed off his longer locks. Oh, my nigga Milo was there. Shout out to Jack, Black Fathers. The couple look cute as they pose together on the carpet, arm in arm. City Year is a national education-based nonprofit that helps keep high-need students in school and on track to graduate. Also at the event was This Is Us actor Milo Ventimiglia, Orlando Bloom, and Amy Schumer. All right, I know black people don't like her no more, but she was there. I'm just saying.
I opened for her once, like maybe like 4 or 5 years ago. She was nice to me, but you know.
Yeah, and once the bloom is off the rose of these white folks, man, it's a wrap. Can't get that back.
Yeah, they don't. Somebody. Oh my god, the chat room is so horrible.
And my thing, I don't have a problem with him until you know.
Oh no.
Start crossing the line and fuck with me.
I have never seen a white person make it back. Like, I was just thinking about it in my life. Like, in my lifetime, I've never, like, once people are like, I don't fuck with this white woman, I've never seen one make it back, dog. That's a wrap.
But you know why? You know why?
Why?
None of them are trying to go on to the BET Awards right. And dance for our forgiveness. They're not True. Doing that.
They don't need us. So they never coming back. Know? Like, they was, like, even them being cool for a little bit was just happenstance, you know? It's, you know, the worst part, it's not even, like, eventually it does become stuff that they say and do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it never starts that way. Mm-mm. You know what always starts it? When them fucking white women at Jezebel be liking these white women too much.
Yeah.
This is always what starts it.
I have a list of white women, I'm not gonna lie, and the biggest reason I don't fuck with them because I'm tired of them and they begrade. Coming and telling me that she's the best thing ever and you niggas need to understand and why you complaining and she's doing this for you too and you're like, well, fuck you, bitch. Y'all only care about white women because if niggas do the same thing, you will have think pieces going in opposite directions telling them how they ain't shit and how they make you feel a certain way. So for me,
yo, that makes sense.
So for me, that's why I'm like, no, and I'm trying. Lisa Dunham, Lena Dunham. Lena Dunham. She number one on the list. Like she really irks me. Out of everybody else, that's one white woman that just she just lights my fire because I'm just sick and tired of her.
Well, my thing is that they start hyping them as like. Symbols for shit
right
before they really done anything or said anything, especially on race. So they'll be like, this woman is the feminist comedian we all need, and it's that kind of declaration that immediately makes people raise their eyebrows, especially black women, that be like, nah, hold up. Is she? You know what I mean? And then there's always that moment, and you can almost mark it with everyone, where eventually some white person that doesn't really fuck with black people and black culture gives this white person credit for some shit that black people did. It is every time. It's the skit that you'll never see like this before. I'm like, didn't they do this on Living Color? They do be
slicing them women though. You know?
Yeah,
Miley
Cyrus makes twerking mainstream. And you're like, that? What the fuck are you talking? She didn't do that, and that's where it starts. And black women pick it right up right there, and they don't fuck with them from that point on.
Right,
and one of them like braid their hair and wear Timberlands. Who's the chick that had some Timbs on and they thought it was the newest shit?
Wasn't it like the Kardashians or something? It was like. The new trend coming to mainstream. Like, what are y'all talking about?
Right, because and I think for a lot of black women, is I will continue to say this, not all, but a lot of white women, they want to be us without the racism. You want to literally be us, but you don't want to deal with the racism. You want everything about us. You tan, you do Botox injections, you do a lot of stuff, you brown your skin, you want everything about us, but you don't want to be called a nigga, you don't want to be stopped and frisked, you don't want to support the black community, you don't want to do none of that shit, but you want the other shit. You quote unquote want to be considered exotic and all that other bullshit that you think goes along with being black, but it actually does not. And that's the frustration that comes in, and it's one of those things where when it comes to a lot of shit that affects black women, like I said before, people act like when black women get mad, it's very easily dismissed. And that's also a problem too, because like you say, a lot of this shit that they do, black women go, well, if we were to do this, all fucking hell would break loose. You know, what about all them think pieces about when Beyonce was pregnant? What about the think pieces getting ready to come out with Serena Williams? All these white women fucking tears, talking, policing her body, policing her motherhood, talking about how she's bad, how she makes me feel. There was no praise in any of this. Hundreds and thousands of pieces off this black woman, but white women do it, you don't get the same response, and you cannot erase that from history. People act like when black women get mad, we're just fucking mad for no goddamn reason. There's no context to why we get mad, like there's nothing behind it. We're just mad for the sake of being goddamn mad, and that's true. And it's one of these things where at the end of the day, when it comes to white women, at the end of the day, you can walk back into whiteness. You can wash the shit off and go back to whiteness. So niggas is like, nah, bitch, any day you can leave. So you make me mad, it's easy for me to write you off.
Well, I think that double standard is real. I remember when Beyonce said the greatest achievement she had was being a mother, and I remember reading this article about this white woman being like, she can't feel that way,
right?
And I was like, what the, like, when did we decide that this feminism means this black woman can't be proud of motherhood? Something that black women are routinely chastised about is their version of motherhood and how it's never good enough and all this shit. Beyonce being pregnant, white woman was like, you making me feel bad about my own pregnancy. Meanwhile, what, 2 weeks later, we were covering Natalie Portman, who did a whole ass music video pregnant, and people were like, oh, what a great it was, no, like, she thinks she's a queen, where's her stretch marks? None of that shit happened. So that's a big part of it. The thing with these like Amy Schumer, Lena Dunham stuff people, they show up on the screen, on the scene, and they're normally quote unquote woke, you know, in the white vernacular, like they're woke on some like feminism and men are, making more money and women need to tell our own stories and that stuff. What happens is, unfortunately, they always kind of get to this point where they're like, it's okay for me to be in the position of white men, but not anybody else. So it is like I understand that these jokes about women are hack and the way they write these roles are terrible, and I hate that men, and if we had less men in charge, this wouldn't happen. Cool. Let's give Tina Fey a show. Tina Fey does a show. She does some stuff where people get upset about Native American portrayal or black people portrayal, and then all of a sudden she's like, you motherfuckers just always complaining. And it's like, that shit fucks with people, and it makes them feel like, you know, it makes especially black women be like, I knew it, I don't fuck with you. And like I said, I ain't never seen nobody make it back. Like,
no,
I don't even think it's possible, because I mean, I don't even know if it's possible, because I've never seen nobody try. Like, right. They just always come out and be like, these haters and shit like that, rather than like, okay, this is a valid criticism. You know, the way I criticized, like, Judd Apatow when I came on the scene, and Judd Apatow helped, you know, looked at me, helped me get on, helped me, like, gave me a voice. They don't return that favor to anybody else. It's like, once I get in, the door's closed. We got enough diversity. We got white women.
Right. And it's also one of these things where it's a huge history of it, which a lot of people try to dismiss. Black women are getting tired of people putting white women on a pedestal. And the moment it's a critique, y'all take that white woman and beat us upside the head with it. That completely turns white black women off. When we be like, hey, there's something wrong with this white woman, or hey, we got some critiques, and it's y'all niggas the problem. Like, nah, don't use her to bash us or to make us feel less than.
Yeah, so I think that's where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, there's always brothers that want to defend these white women. So
correct.
Can't ever lose sight of that. That shit just always make it worse. I seen people defending Yes Jules, man. I was like, it's really nothing a white woman can do that make a brother be, that make all the brothers be like, you know what, I don't even fuck with her, dog. It's always gonna be somebody like, but think about it this way, brother.
Right.
Always.
Right. And the sad part about it, when sisters are like, hey, dog, that same passion, that same drive and fire, why don't we get that? And then right. We become the problem from pointing out that we don't get reciprocated the same way we do it to y'all.
Yeah. Somebody said this Hillary Clinton is making it back as a white woman. Not really.
Mm-hmm. No, because
I mean, she did say she liked hot sauce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because.
Yeah, see, well, think about it this way. She liked that hot sauce.
She liked that hot sauce. Well,
yeah. And Beyonce liked hot sauce. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When it came to Hillary Clinton, I'm going to tell you right now. A lot of niggas sideways, a lot of black women sideways looked at that thing and was like, well, I'll vote for you because you're the best. Mm-hmm. I don't really fuck with you. I don't really like you.
Yeah, it was about the choices. It's different. Right. It's not like a celebrity literally making it back, mm-hmm. You know?
But you guys said, and I think was pretty profound, I don't even know how long, I guess it was probably like around the election time or after,
mm-hmm.
Black people now always had to vote for the lesser of two evils.
Always.
And we really wouldn't give us no benefit, so we done always had to do that shit, so it ain't really nothing new. And yeah. I mean, that's definitely
my new shit is, when we gonna meet a politician that kisses our ass the way they kiss these white people's ass? That's my new shit right now, because like, I'm sick of it, man. Sick of getting told that we don't know what the fuck is wrong with our lives, and we need to, something wrong with us as black people, and so, and it's up to us to vote for this politician to fix it. I'm sick of that, man. Like, we need to have a politician, and it'll be the first time in my lifetime, because even the people I fuck with do the same thing. We need a politician that's like, y'all black people didn't do nothing wrong.
Right.
Like, y'all hard working. Y'all got an unfair deal. Y'all not
middle America too.
Yeah, y'all working class. Y'all not lazy. You're not stupid. You're not bad parents. You're not fucking criminals. I just want somebody to blow smoke up my ass the way they do for racist white people that voted for Trump, man. Cause like, ever since that election, man, feel like all the people on the left, for the most part, have been kissing white people's ass that voted for Trump that they know are racist and bigoted. No matter how many studies come out, they'll keep being like, well, they're just hardworking Americans who didn't get a fair shake. But they never say that shit about us, man. I fucking stand for the Obamas, stand for Barack. But that nigga was giving that speech on some like, hey, you niggas need to start being good parents. I'm like, bruh, these are the niggas at the graduation.
Right.
It definitely ain't them. Like,
this ain't the crew.
Like, whoever the people you are saying are bad for black people that are black, they not here. So this speech is not to them. It's just ruining their graduation to hear this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So like, it'll be the first politician in my lifetime if we ever get a politician that just says black people are hardworking, they deserve better, they deserve more, the system is unfair and it's rigged against y'all, and it's not your fault. There's nothing you need to do. There's not a thing that y'all aren't doing that y'all have to do. Cause we don't say that shit to other people. We come up with programs. We tell them how smart they are. We like, you can be untalented, lazy, unfucking skilled, uneducated, and a bigot, and you'll still have Bernie Sanders being like, we need your vote. We need to bring you into the Democratic Party with your bigotry and get your vote. And that's the dude I'm supposed to believe can save America with his socialism and get rid of racism. That's the dude y'all are pitching to me, as y'all fuss at me and call me stupid for voting Democrat and say that black people only vote this way because celebrities tell them to. That's the dude I'm supposed to believe in, the one that's like, we need to side with these bigots. when are we gonna have our turn, man? I just want my turn, bro. I just want somebody to look me in my motherfucking face and lie to me. That's why, like, as much as people shit on Hillary, Hillary had my vote and I was enthusiastic about it the day she called them niggas deplorable. I said, you know what? Listen, only a white person can say it, but appreciate you, because, you know, obviously if Barack would have said it, they would try to crucify him. But look, she said that shit. I know she slipped up and said the truth by accident. That shit was true. Like,
and
all
then
the
she had to walk it back.
She had to walk it back, because the third rail in this country isn't racism. It's telling people that they are racist. It's pointing out that racism has an adverse effect on this country, that slavery is a problem. Bernie Sanders believes in, he believes he can change our economy to a socialist economy, that he can change our government to a socialist government. He believes he can change the entire structure of economics and production in our country, but he don't believe in reparations. That's crazy.
That's too divisive.
That's divisive. Don't nobody want to hear that. That shit is so fucking infuriating as a black person. It's infuriating. We definitely, like, they call the programs that they associate with blackness entitlement programs. What's more entitled than white people? White people that work in the coal industry but still expect to get a fucking check, even though they won't go to school for nothing else or learn another skill. That's entitlement, but we don't have a problem with that entitlement. We empower their entitlement. We tell them that the world is stupid and fake and it's not their fault, and we're gonna get these niggas off of your tax dollars and you're gonna be fine even though you ain't got no job, and I'm gonna bring back coal because fuck climate change and all this shit. We literally say all those lies to white people to make them feel better, and they go vote for it. But when it comes to black people, all they got for us is a motherfucking lecture, man. That shit is super frustrating, and that's the shit that I want to end, man. I don't want to hear no more black people need to do some shit. We don't need to do anything but stay black and die. America has been letting us down on the promise that it gave to everybody else for our entire fucking history in this country. We have been let down by the American dream, and I'm not here to hear us be called anything other than fucking patriots, dog. Fuck that.
Yeah,
all right, sorry about that. Tangent.
No, you're absolutely right. I think, like, the most powerful movies this year, I'm Not Your Negro and Get Out, even though, like, some black women have, shout out to Ray Sonny that brought up the fact that, you know, how black women are used and the, you know, but overall, to me, I think those movies weren't really for black people,
right,
but more for white people, because we could look at that shit and be like, oh, this is a good movie, it's funny, it's, mm-hmm. it's interesting, it's great, but yo, them movies was for white people, dog. Like, yeah. I don't know. That's how I looked at it.
I feel like that genre for black people is more like, you're not crazy, you're not alone.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's what we get from it. We don't, like, our satisfaction from those movies. Like, honestly, dude, I walked out of Get Out, and I looked at the ratings on Rotten Tomatoes, and I was like, what do they think this movie's about?
Right.
Because I don't know how you can be white in America, even these liberal white people, and still feel like that movie is 100 and it's not about you at all. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there must be a disconnect where they're just like, no, this has nothing to do with race for real.
Right.
Or how racism actually is. It's just a cool, creepy, scary movie. And I'm like, that must be the only way to absorb it, because I feel like if you watch Get Out, even, you know, it's about the actual, like, Obama was a good one type black whiteness, and all those microaggressions at the parties and stuff. All black people have had that happen to them. You know, some of the people giving this shit 100 have done those things. They've asked black people, do they play golf, and then said that Tiger Woods is so great. And I don't know if it went over their head or what, man, that those things are microaggressions. And
because they don't consider them microaggressions.
I know, but it's just weird. Then why did they think the movie was good, is my point. Because
there
me,
was a separation. Because, like you say, to them, they just went and saw a movie. They didn't see a movie about race.
But what's good about that conversation if you don't think of the microaggressions? You see what I'm saying? Because, like, it's not even a good conversation if you don't think this is wildly weird and inappropriate that a white person would bring up the one black golfer talking to the one black dude at the party.
Because white is the default. So to them, a lot of this shit is quote unquote normal. So to them, it's like, well, this is normal to me.
Then why is it good, is what I'm saying? Because there's only one thing good about that conversation. You know what I'm saying? There's only one big ass elephant in the room for that entire scene, which is, look at how white people talk to black people, and there is something sinister behind it. how do you go give that shit 100 on Rotten Tomatoes while also not grasping the very real fucking mental harm that does to black people? It's just very weird.
Because in my mind, I think a lot of people, when it comes to race and racism, a lot of them really truly believe the colorblind shit. They really truly believe racism doesn't matter. Like they have bought into it, including the quote unquote woke ones, including the ones that are enlightened. A lot of them have to de-teach themselves and detach themselves from whiteness in order for you to look at whiteness in a way that makes you say, hey, this is something fucked up. But when you're in the middle of it, it's hard for you to understand that this shit is offensive to other people. It's hard for you to understand that other people actually view this as harmful when you are in the middle of it.
I know, but then why is it a good movie to you? It's gonna always come back, because if it's I can't see it, if you can't see it, then the movie's not good, because you can't see it.
You know,
if you can't, the thing that makes the movie good, I'm sorry, Chris, go ahead.
I was gonna say, they could say, like, you know, oh, he ain't talking about me. Like, I'm not that. But right. It was some hit dogs hollering, though. It was some hit dogs hollering.
True. It took a long time, is what I'm saying. I just remember walking out that movie being like, so this shit about to get a damn 25 on Rotten Tomatoes, because it's definitely a make a mad white movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, in my mind. And then, but when I got home, I was like, oh, everybody apparently likes this movie. And these are critics that mostly are white. Like, they think they get it on some level.
And I think, to me, because what I did, the movie, it might sound weird, but to an extent, the movie also catered towards them. Because if this movie did not cater towards them, it would have tanked, and they would have complained, and they would have hollered, because they was like, y'all making white people look bad. Y'all, because, see, they can see it that way. They can see when it's blatant and it's blunt and it's, you know, hey, we want y'all to know y'all do some fucked up shit. Mm-hmm. But with it being so subtle, and a lot of them in their everyday behavior, it's not a separation there. And so a lot of it, they was like, oh, well, I'll give it 100 because it, quote unquote, didn't offend me. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the way I view it.
I just feel like every,
you know how the pieces come out.
I feel like every white person in this movie was evil except for that one cop. Everybody was bad. Like, it's just, it wasn't no good white people in the movie. I don't know, man. I mean, I'm proud of the dude with Jordan Peele for doing it. I'm glad y'all can stop trying to pretend he a coon and shit.
What was that? See, now speak on that a little bit. Maybe you've probably talked about
it. I have, but we can go into it again.
We can.
Yeah, I do. You know, I'm a big fan of Key and Peele, the comedy series and shit.
I enjoy them.
Yeah. Like, I watched every season, you know, even when people was hating and treating them. I think a lot of that shit was about the fact that they replaced Chappelle.
Right.
And there was an affection for Chappelle and his humor that lingered for a long period of time. And they were the first actual, like, black people they brought in to replace the Chappelle show. Because up until that point, I want to say the replacements were Carlos Mencia. Mm-hmm. Kroll got a show. I don't know if his was before or after. Schumer got a show. A bunch of people got shows, but they were the first black people talking about race in that spot. Other than Chocolate News, I remember.
Yeah.
I love Chocolate News.
That shit got slept on. Anyway, and so I feel like a lot of people wanted them to kind of, like, either pick up where Chappelle left to not have their own voice and their own point of view, which they did, to be honest. They had their own point of view. It was, they're biracial, they can do and see things from a black perspective, and sometimes they see shit from a white perspective. And I think people were distrustful of them, and you just assume the worst of these guys. But I remember being like, no, the show's funny, man, if you watch it. And progressively, every season, that show got a little bit more militant and a little bit more militant. And by the end, it was like, this show, are white people watching this? Because this shit is getting black as fuck now. You know, like, Negro Town and shit, like some of them sketches.
That's one of my favorite ones.
But also, you need to have the ability to laugh at yourself and to trust people. I think because I didn't distrust those dudes, and I didn't know much about them outside of the show, I just never was bothered by it. Like, I don't know their politics. I don't know if they say fucked up shit in interviews. I have no idea. I've never really followed them that way. I just followed the show. And they had a show where it was like two black dudes having a business meeting at like a, you know, a soul food restaurant. Mm-hmm. And they just progressively started ordering blacker and blacker shit.
Yes.
And by the end it was like, all right, now, okay, no, you know what, cancel my order for the pig feet, give me some donkey teeth. And like, it was, and it, I laughed till tears came out of my eyes. And every episode they always had like one or two skits that made me laugh to the point of like damn near crying. And so I guess I just never caught, and it was that thing, I just didn't talk about it with people much,
right?
So I never really caught the hate until I think they hosted the MTV Awards, and I just seen it on Twitter, like people was calling them out their name, calling them coons and shit, and I was like, I guess black people must have hated them, and I just didn't fucking know. So
I didn't have a problem with them.
Yeah,
I still don't.
And Chappelle adding to it by saying that shit, like, that didn't help because it brings it back up. But I'll tell you this much, Jordan Peele is bulletproof now.
I can't wait to his next movie.
Now I have to get out. I don't feel ashamed to be like, yeah, I'll fuck with Key and Peele. It was good. It was a good show, and I liked it. Y'all should check out some skits. Now I don't have to feel bad about that shit because motherfuckers are like, yeah, it is, you know, Jordan Peele woke, you know. So anyway, let's get into the last thing, man. Let's talk about some Guess the Race. Okay, we've done enough white people news, it's time to move on.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all of podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestant today, Chris Lambert from the Mundane Festival podcast, to guess the race, and the chat room and Karen play along, and they're racist. Let's get to the first one, which is like cranes in the sky.
Oh, no.
An Oregon man is accused of sexually assaulting a chicken.
Mm-mm-mm. What?
Don't you mean a cock?
He put his cock in a cock can.
They need to.
That guy needs
to be hung.
How
that
dare.
Guy needs to have one. That's like the reverse Michael Vick for black people.
You attack our sacred animal? Kill this man. An Oregon man is accused of sexually assaulting a chicken. Joshua Brian Woltman, 27, was arrested and booked in Jackson County Jail this week on charges of sexually assaulting of an animal, public indecency, menacing, and disorderly conduct. Documents allege Woltman unlawfully and for the purpose of arousing and gratifying the sexual desire of a person touched or contacted the sexual organs of a chicken. Woltman was also booked on a probation violation for meth possession. His bail is set at $20,500. Karen, guess the race.
Oh, white.
Okay. Chris, what do you think?
White.
All right. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe. It's a real chicken or egg situation.
Yeah.
Used mayo as lube, white. Damn.
Oh.
Poor chickens was probably crooning like that white girl in that cover rod tortured us with, white.
Oh.
cuck-a-lucking for cock, white. I guess meth dead giveaway, white got to the chicken at least its got to the chicken at its least seasoned level.
Oh my,
a black person better not disrespect the chicken like that, white. If a chicken isn't getting assaulted by a black person mouth, they white.
Oh Lord.
That's a good point. The correct answer is white. He was white, guys. I'll see if I can put his picture on screen. How do I get to it? There we go. Let me know when it shows up. But, yeah, when you see this guy, you're going to see he's probably sleeping with one eye open
today. Oh
yeah.
Oh my god.
Mm-hmm. Gotta learn to stay focused.
Looks like he was looking at more than one cock.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to the next one. You guys all got that right, congratulations. You racist sons of bitches. Let's see, how about this. A New Orleans woman takes engagement photos with boxes of Popeye's chicken.
Oh, shit.
A lot of chicken news in Guess the Race today.
So.
A New Orleans woman photos are getting attention for all the right reasons. For most people in the Crescent City of Louisiana, Popeyes is synonymous with New Orleans like Carnival in February. Elise Chelsea Clark took her love of Popeyes to a whole nother level. She recently posted several hilarious photos of what she calls her engagement to Popeyes. Clark said the idea came to her one day and she teamed up with New Orleans photographer Whitney Tucker for the photo shoot at City Park. I said yes at Popeye's Chicken and I are engaged, Clark tweeted. The photos were posted on her Twitter and Facebook pages. Several of them feature her holding a box of Popeyes and others with chicken strips or biscuits in the hands. Check out her Facebook or Twitter to see the rest of the photos. All right. Guess the race of Elise Chelsea Clark.
I'm going black.
Karen's going black. What about you?
I know that sparkling seasoning that
Cajun Sparkle.
Yeah, Cajun Sparkle that they talk about. I haven't tried that yet. I guess I got to try that one day.
I tried it. It's crack. They were right.
they
was right.
I was about to say Rob was going to like go and diss, say something against Cajun Sparkle.
No. They were right.
Okay. Right. I need to get on
that. Yeah, I ain't got nothing contrary to add. I put that shit on that chicken. I was like, I'm going to snort this. Chris, what is your guess for what was her name?
I would say we are not a monolith, but you're letting us down anyway, black.
Oh Lord.
Let's check the chat room, see what they believe. The answer is Louisiana Fast Black. That chicken was mild, white. Oh. Black Newports and shoot dice behind your kids' school, black.
Oh.
Blackened. Knows how to appreciate a good and it will never cross the road, black. Hot sauce and wedding bands, black. Extra crispy, spicy, black. Chicken levels off the charts, black. White. A black woman doesn't have to announce this.
Oh, shit.
This is suspect, but I'm going to go white because she seems overcome by the idea of seasoned chicken. Annie the Dixie Queen, black as fuck. Blacker than Annie's fake accent in those Popeyes commercials. Oh yeah, I know. I do feel like that woman. I want to see an interview with her out of the costume.
What about that British?
Yeah, I feel like she's like, oh, I had a spot of tea before the Popeyes filming. I was in a Popeyes advertisement. The correct answer is, and most of you guys did go black, and most of you guys are wrong. She's white.
Wow. Joe was right.
For the few of you who got it right, I have to give you the golf clap. Good job.
Hindsight is always 20/20. You got to say the Chelsea, that could go either way.
Yeah, it was Elise Chelsea Clark, which, I mean, I would have went black if I was y'all. Mm-hmm.
Me too. That's why I went black. But
and Elise is spelled Elyse.
Oh,
I mean that's pretty black.
Huh. Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, but you know it's New Orleans. Maybe she one of them white passing black people. It is New Orleans, you know.
Yeah,
let's just go with that.
She's got a black boyfriend.
Yeah, oh for sure. You know that's. I mean, come on, mm-hmm. Look at that chicken. There's no way. I feel like a black dude showed up at the photo shoot.
I would cape up for her.
Yeah. Now see, this is different, right? Like if she was out here saying, can I wear a nigga t-shirt? I'd be like, maybe.
Yeah, go ahead, girl.
You know, you do love Popeyes.
You do look like you might have hot sauce in your bag, for real.
I definitely would grade her booty on the curve, is all I'm saying. I'd be like, well, in some yoga pants, and some yoga pants, maybe.
Work with it, yeah.
Kinda. Let's go to the bonus round. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race, and the bonus round of Guess the Race. So far, the guys, Karen and Chris, are 1-1. And most of the chat room is 1-1 as well. But let's see if they can come out of it in the bonus round. right, getting a little funky there in the music. Two engaged Boston doctors have their throat slit in their own apartment.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
A $1.9 million penthouse had a throat split by an ex-convict, 30 years old, who wrote a message of retribution on the wall before being shot by the cops. Police were met by gunshots from the doctor's killer when they arrived at the $1.9 million penthouse apartment in South Boston, where Dr. Richard Field and Dr. Lena Bolanos lived. Now, we're not guessing their races, okay? We're guessing the criminals' races, all right? Bampumbin Texiera, 30, did not hit police officers before they shot him multiple times and wounded him. He was taken to Tufts Medical Center for treatment with non-life-threatening injuries. Boston police were called to the apartment on Friday night after hearing reports of a man with a gun. They responded around 8:45 p.m. When officers finally entered the apartment, they saw the bodies of Field, 49, and Bolanos, 38, whose throats had been slit. Their hands were bound, blood and messages of retribution were on the walls, and photos of the two doctors in the apartment had been cut up, according to the Boston Globe. The motive for the killing... The motives for the killings are unknown, but police say the crime does not appear to be random. Officials have said that the two doctors and their killer knew each other. For someone to come up, to come here, go to the 11th floor to the penthouse, we got to believe that somehow there was some type of knowledge of each other, Boston Police Commissioner William B. Evans said. The apartment building had a special security system in order to get inside, and to use the elevator, a special key was needed. The couple were described as good, kind, gentle people, according to Boston Globe. Michael Gibbs, Bolanos' godfather, said, hopefully this guy will get, they have caught, will be able to say who he is and why this was done. That's all we're hoping, is to get some kind of information. Why did this happen? Field worked at North Shore Pain Management and had previously been an anesthesiologist and pain management specialist at Beverly Hospital at Brigham and Women's Hospital. A statement from NSPM Clinic said Dr. Field was a guiding vision at North Shore Pain Management, was instrumental in the creation of this practice. And then Bolanos was a pediatric anesthesiologist at Massachusetts Eye and Ear Infirmary. So damn, he killed two doctors. They also said Texiera will be arraigned on Monday. He had previously been convicted of two counts of larceny for passing notes demanding money from the same bank in 2014 and 2016. He pleaded guilty to both counts last year. No weapons were used in either incident. He had been released from a correctional facility after his 9-month sentence in April. Texiera's girlfriend said that he was a former security guard and that he never acted violently. Police said the multiple charges are expected to be brought against him, and likely charges for two counts of murder. Guess the race of, how do I pronounce his first name? Bampumin Texiera.
You know what? I'm gonna go off the board. I'm gonna say Indian. Like Indian with the dot.
Okay. All right.
Damn.
Middle Eastern Indian. Mm-hmm. Got it. All right. What about you, Chris?
Black.
Chris is going with black. All right. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe. Let me scroll down. Where am I at? Okay. Ungentrified the neighborhood as soon as he got there, Mexican. Knife killing, Hispanic. Used his border jumping skills to evade the security system. Knife wielding Latin man. Told them the Cinco de Mind Day business, Hispanic Latino. They let that nigga live. Wow. Black. Colt 45 want to build a wall around him. Mexican. MacGyver white. The crime is white, but the cops killed him. So they didn't kill him. They just injured him. So Latino. Has difficult names, so it's hard to be found by police. Black. Screams nigger at opposing players from the grandstand of Fenway Park.
Aww.
Indian and Big Poppy. The correct answer is Poppy. Looking at this picture, guys, I gotta give it to Chris. He's black. Right. Which means Karen was wrong, and so were many of you. You guessed other than black.
With that name?
I mean, he might be some type of brown. He might be from like Haiti or Cuba or some shit. I don't know what the rules are, but he definitely looked like a black dude.
He very black.
I mean, it's hard to argue against that. I'm sorry, guys.
I was just reading and listen to you pronounce the name. I was like, well,
I know. I would have did the same. It was a tricky day today, Karen. Okay, you know I feel bad for you. I do. We do one more.
Yay!
I'm thinking about putting this white girl as one of my Facebook or Twitter wallpapers.
Which one? The Popeyes.
Yeah.
And you gonna put white girls evolving under it so you can go ahead and get ran off of Twitter. I'm gonna miss you, man.
It was fun while it lasted.
Right.
Look, I hate that nigga.
Right. I'll be like, well, he was blowing up, so I mean it's about time for him to turn on us. You gotta wait till you get too famous to give a fuck about black people.
And I'll make a Kendrick one. What's the record where Kendrick was like crying on To Pimp a Butterfly?
Oh,
I hate what you.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta get too famous. You gotta get white people famous and then give up on black people and start saying racist shit. Yeah. They need to stop getting on the internet and just work hard and shit like that.
That's true.
I'm like, we used to love Chris while he was black. I don't know, something happened and we just lost him forever.
I'm getting used to it now.
And then I'll come back and like put on a dashiki like OJ did. Yeah. Try on the hat.
I did get accused of some crime and shit.
Yeah.
They caught Chris stealing sandwiches off the set of 30 Rock. Oh. Chris show back up like, brothers and sisters, we shall not let this injustice stand. An injustice anywhere is an injustice everywhere.
And I could dance at the BET Awards. And then I could dance at the BET Awards and all will be forgiven.
Man, you know who doesn't get enough credit for his switch was when Mike came back. When they tried to get him for his publishing, and Mike was like, these motherfucking racist white people. And everybody was like, what?
Mike was started talking like, they don't really care about us.
That's when we found out about that revitiligo, man. You know, that's when we found out. It was like, no, this is a disease. I ain't do this to me. I'm still black, and they trying to get my money.
I didn't do this to me.
Right. The Nation of Islam was with him and everything. Remember that? The Fruit of Islam was there? Bruh. By the way, he got his money too. I know that much. You show up with that fruit, you're going to get your money, boy.
Oh, shit.
All right. Last one, guys. A man was arrested for breaking into his neighbor's house to make a pimento cheese sandwich. Joel Puglio, 55, of Rock Hill, South Carolina, right up the street, has been charged with burglary and petty larceny. Authorities say he entered the locked house Saturday. The stolen goods include a drink of clear moonshine, a Clover Valley kosher whole dill pickle, a scoop of Nuke's pimento cheese, and two slices of bread. The homeowner had installed the cameras after noticing things had gone missing inside his house. He alerted authorities on Saturday that the surveillance cameras in his house revealed Puglia helping himself to food in his refrigerator. He started making a sandwich, took a pickle from an unopened jar, the homeowner told police. A responding deputy found a fork in the sink, which the homeowner said he did not use. Puglia, who was renting another property from the homeowner, told deputies he broke in the house because he was hungry and did not have anything to eat at his house. Puglia, who said he pushed the locked door open, also admitted entering the home on Dunlop Roddy Road on other occasions. Guess the race of Mr. Joel Puglia. Mm-hmm.
White.
Karen's going white. What about you, Chris?
He went in to make a cheese sandwich. He's white.
There you go. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe. Let me scroll to the bottom. Just no respect for property, nothing. Just you renting. What are you doing, bro? Let's see here. Where is it at? Okay. The only cheese black folks fuck with is government. They are some white, shenanigans. The broke ass Deer Hunter White. What about the cheese in Carolina? White on white crime. Only white people view cheese as community property. White. Calky, who craved a cheese sandwich. Pimento your white ass out my house. Moonshine and cheese. That is, there's a redneck. The white version of bruh man. white.
Oh, that's a throwback.
Parents cut him off for dating a black white boy. Got her done. White. Cannot believe none of you guys made a Steve Urkel joke. But the correct answer is white. Everybody got it.
Right.
Wait, what'd you say, Chris?
I just say, got any cheese? I forgot about that. He was the only, I'm just not that adventurous with my cheese. I like a good cheddar, like a sharp cheddar. Mm. And I'm not that adventurous, you know, like, you know, obviously you want pizza, you got your Parmesan, but
right.
What is it? You know, your,
I just
mozzarella.
That's good too.
I just can't. Damn. Hold on. I'm gonna have to reload my screen. Hold on. It's tripping right now. I know I'm still on the screen, but if y'all want to see this, I gotta refresh. Give me 1 second here.
Yeah, it is some excellent cheese out there, man.
Well, the thing is, I mean, no black person is breaking in just to steal cheese.
Mm-hmm. No, you gotta put some meat on that.
Yeah, we're gonna get more than that, dog. Just a cheese sandwich?
Yeah.
And risk everything for that?
Right, right. Mm-mm.
All right, turn my camera back on. There we go.
Now I can't hear. Oh, so I guess we're.
All right, I'm coming right back. Should be up in a second. All right, I'm back.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, but yeah, we're not risking it all for the motherfucking cheese sandwich.
No, and we got some kind of cheese. The cheese has some jalapenos in it. That cheese was flames.
It was good.
What do you eat with it? Like a sandwich? Like you put on a sandwich?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just sandwich cheese.
A grilled cheese sandwich, ham, egg.
It was like, sandwich. I think it was jalapeno jack cheese or something.
Yes.
Monterey Jack jalapeno.
And
something.
It had jalapeno pieces like actually in the cheese. Some of the best cheese I've ever had.
Damn, this dude.
Damn, would y'all go to like... can I ask y'all, can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do y'all have Wegmans down there?
No, we don't. We've heard of it, but I don't think they go past Virginia.
Yeah, we went to one when we was driving up to my brother's wedding.
I feel like, the first time I went was like a week ago, last weekend. And it's in PG County, so if there's any black people that's in that area that's on a chat room, is that like the black Whole Foods? I'm wondering if it's, I'm just putting it out there because like it's a cool grocery store, but they had like fried chicken, like their hot food section. And I feel like anytime you see a middle-aged black guy in church clothes getting that chicken and macaroni, I feel like, you know it's going to be dope. And right. I feel like it was a lot of black people that was there, like sitting down and eating. And the only time I see black people, you know, black people sitting down and eating, you know, is at a grocery store. Like they was going in. And like that same equivalent is like white people at Whole Foods. Like they go in, like they go there for that hot food. You know, the hot foods. I don't know, man. Maybe I'm just.
I don't know the rules because I don't go in with Whole Foods, really.
I've never actually.
I've only been in there like once, and I've been in Trader Joe's a handful of times.
Because you guys have Publix, though, so that's probably why.
Yeah.
Now they stand in line for Publix, and I don't think we've ever had Publix chicken. Their subs are good, though.
I've had, I've definitely had their sandwiches and not the chicken. And you can't sit down in Publix, so.
No, not the way that one is done.
Yeah, you just gotta take your shit and go. All right, man. Last thing, we gotta talk about sword ratchetness, guys. Can't do an episode without spreading the word about these motherfuckers with these swords. Man is charged with stabbing and killing his ex-girlfriend with a sword. All right. I'll take this on Twitter later and argue that men are not trash. I will start with that point and work my way down.
It's gonna go down. It's gonna tumble down the hill.
The Citrus County Sheriff's Office has arrested a 41-year-old man for stabbing his ex-girlfriend with a sword and then running her over with a truck. Damn, he took it to the next level with that truck, man. According to a news release, deputies found 42-year-old Brandy Blevins dead in the front yard of her home Sunday night. Detectives discovered Huffman had stabbed Blevins with a large sword. According to one witness, after Huffman stabbed Blevins, he ran to his truck and proceeded to run over the victim before crashing into a tree. He then ran from the home, was later found and taken into custody by the deputies.
Was he drunk?
I don't know. It's probably just, you know, women being emotional. You know how it is.
Oh, yeah. That's excuse for everything. We just emotional.
You know, y'all so unreasonable and
irrational, illogical.
You know, we use logic. okay? Like, women, y'all use emotions, we use logic. Like, we don't just stab you, we run you over with a car because that's logical,
right?
You know,
okay, I understand.
He's charged with premeditated murder and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. He's in jail without bail. It's unclear if he retained an attorney. And he is a white dude with a neck tattoo, in case you guys were wondering. All right, guys, let's get up out of here. Chris, man, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks for having me, guys. Always a pleasure.
Yes, sir. Check out ChrisLamberth.com. Check him out on Twitter at Chris Lamberth if you want to get some Pretty Little Liars or Nashville tweets in your life. He's the man, okay? Him and Mike Felder. And also, make sure you guys listen to his podcast, The Mundane Festival. If you're a fan of comedy, inside comedy, like he does a lot of talk to comedians, you know, the Fonte interviews are tremendous. He talks about movies on there and entertainment and TV shows and pop culture stuff. And you know, when you guys are being too woke on social media and stuff, making them feel uncomfortable, he's on there talking about it and all that stuff as well. So
I just think it's annoying, man. It's just like, because I feel like I've been tagged with that since I was in high school. And it's like, some people, it's like their wokeness is like they're just like a deer trying to walk, like a baby deer trying to walk, and they're all over the place. And it's just,
well, I feel like in our lifetime we've watched people become brands of
correct.
Their own.
Yeah. Right.
So sometimes it feels like certain people are just always on.
Mm-hmm.
And some people found their lane that way, man. Like, that's what I started to realize, was just that there's certain people that I can't really fuck with, but I actually don't have a problem with them. Like,
right.
It's probably good that they exist. It's probably good that they wake up every morning and bang on society and like educate people and shit. It's probably good. But in general, it's not for me. I already know most of that shit, so now it's just them preaching to the choir. And then two, sometimes I just want to have some fun and shit. I can't always be, you know, trying to be educated on some shit. So I think that's a big problem.
That's true. Chris, do you have any upcoming shows?
Yes, I do, Karen. Thanks for asking. I am going to be at the Judson Memorial Church on Wednesday, the 10th? I'm doing this show called Dead Darlings. It's where you have like comedians, artists, writers, they perform stuff that got rejected. So I'm doing a portion of my half hour that I submitted to Comedy Central. It's actually a story that I have about Spike Lee, where he was an asshole to me at the Apple Store in Soho. That's probably going to be on my upcoming album. And I'm headlining a show in Cape May, New Jersey at the Willow Creek Winery on Saturday, the 13th. Yeah, so I'm around. Did I get knocked off?
I thought you were gonna end it with something. You were just like, yeah, so, all right.
I was like, what happened to Chris?
So come out to that if you're in the New York area. Hopefully, I'll be in DC doing some shows at the Draft House at some point, and, just gonna be trying to work on this album and trying to make it happen, man. And,
go see him.
Go see him, man.
We saw Chris live, and he's fucking hilarious.
A few years ago,
and that was years ago. Mm-hmm. So I know
he's improved.
Yeah, like he's being modest and nice in here, man.
He really is.
They writing about the boy on Intero Bang and shit.
He trying to play like, that ain't that important, y'all.
Like, go see him, because when he blow up, I'm definitely taking credit for all the success and stuff. So. You know.
I just hope that there's credit that you guys can take. Like, I hope it gets to the point. I was on set for this when I was doing that pilot, and the PA remembered me from the Melissa McCarthy movie that I hope I made the cut in. That don't come out till next year. But anyway, like, she was saying, "Oh, I remember you from something," and I said, "Hey, if you remember me," and she said, "I hope I see you again." I said, "If I see you again, that means I'm doing something right."
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's dope, man. We rooting for you, and
we are
spreading the word out here, spreading the gospel in the streets.
We are. Yeah, oh, and speaking of shows, for those of you
who skip the feedback show, because we know a lot of y'all do. We just make an announcement that if you want to see us live, we're going to be in DC. It's going to be us, Chris and them for movie trailer reviews, and Brandon and the whole crew from Where's My 40 Acre Acres are going to be in DC. It's across all social media. Roger put the notes.
I put the link in the last show notes. I'll put it in the show notes too. NegroCon 2017, man. I'm telling you now too, guys. It's almost sold out.
We have limited seating.
It just went on sale Friday and it's almost sold out, and we haven't made it to Monday. So if you're hearing this, it might already be too late.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, you need to go to the link. We're going to be at RFD Washington, in Washington DC. Yeah, it's gonna be live, dog. So June 17th, 6 p.m. We're gonna get three different podcasts coming together on the Chitlin circuit and doing a live show, and then we'll have we'll hang out with y'all. And I think tickets are $26.50, but it comes with drink tickets.
Drink so included.
You already get one free drink is what we like to call it. And
gotta be 21 and up.
And we appreciate you guys. So thank you. Come help us celebrate Negrodom at NegroCon 2017. All right, man. We'll talk to y'all later. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.